talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
And we're back.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
I'm Mike Sorrentino, otherwise known as The Situation, the man, the myth, the legend from Jersey Shore. I mean, you can hate on me all you want to, but what can you possibly say to somebody that looks like Rambo pretty much with his shirt off? My dancing background consists of many, many nights at the club with your girlfriend. just kidding.
Oh, maybe it's better if you just die.
You know what I was... I don't even know. Who knows, dog? I don't even know what the f*** I was thinking.
And now...
we need to talk.
Not true.
Our feature presentation.
I gotta tell you, I need a vacation.
Oh, come on.
You know what I mean? You get that feeling you've been working for a long time. You're getting weary.
I do know that feeling.
Yeah, I do too, actually.
Starts creeping up on you, and then all of a sudden you realize, wow, I've been working for so long, I need a vacation.
Weren't you gone last week and you've been here for 90 seconds today?
Yeah. Well, yeah, technically.
Technically, you've been working for a minute and a half, and so far it's just been standing there.
Yeah, so far, yes.
You're exhausted.
Yes, I need a vacation.
Are you anticipating? Is that it?
No, I didn't. It wasn't the most of restful vacations. It was dumb of me. But
yeah,
it was fun.
Sometimes that happens where you have this time off, and there's a bunch of stuff you either have to get done or decide to get done, and you don't feel refreshed at the end of it.
Yeah.
That is necessary. That's how my vacation was recently, too, is things like... getting the car serviced and things like that. Just errands that I don't have time to do when I'm working, you know?
Getting the car serviced? What are you talking about?
I don't take vacation for that.
No, but I'm saying I can't. I have to drop it off in the morning for it to be, you know, for it to be serviced, and I can't do that during the week when I'm working. That's my point.
Okay. All right.
So those are the types of things that you sometimes need a day off to do. So that's, you know, take your vacation.
I went to Las Vegas last week and then played poker and then got back on Saturday and then went out to Epicenter to see Eminem and then last night went to Muse.
But when did you get your car serviced?
I didn't.
Oh.
That's a busy weekend. I was in Las Vegas this weekend too, by the way.
Really?
How about that? How you like me now?
Hanging out with Chief? Picking up all the chicks?
Yeah. Well, no, not that part.
Yeah.
We did go to Denny's. Hey, we are going to take your phone calls at 1-800-520-106. And we also did go out to see the new bridge they built over at the Hoover Dam, too. We went to see that, too.
Wow, you guys know how to party.
God.
1-800-520-1067. Lines are wide open if you want to get on the air and get yourself a prize. You can do that. Hey, we don't have time to get into it right now, but speaking of the weekend, Psycho Mike was he was off on Friday. He was in a wedding party. Where was it, Mike? Where'd you have to go for the wedding?
City of Paso Robles, California. It's in the Central Coast here. It's a big wine-producing city.
Okay. Speaking of whining, did you cry like a little girl at some point during the weekend?
I cried like a little girl while giving the best man speech.
You cried while giving the best man speech? Really?
Yeah.
That's not good. That's not what they hire you.
He doesn't drink.
I can hire you for to be the guy who falls apart.
Not at all.
I'm with Lisa. If you're not drinking,
no, there's zero excuse.
Right. You don't cry. There's no crying in best man speeches.
I know. Well, what do you want me to
what
say?
Happened
what did you
to
cry
you?
About?
It was a very emotional
thing. I really wish my marriage would have worked out.
Was it that?
Yeah. Yes, that's what it was, Kevin.
Oh, my God.
Was it? Was it?
I'm in front of everybody, and they're all looking at me, and I'm pretty.
Was it that?
Yes, Bean. That's it. That is something to cry about.
People probably love this speech I'm giving right now so much.
I don't know how people reacted because I left immediately after. But
out of embarrassment and shame?
Yeah, it's time for me to go.
Because the wedding party all asked you to?
No, because after that point, I had done my duty.
Wait, you were the best man and you ducked out immediately after giving the speech?
Yeah.
Stop being oblique. Why did you cry?
It was a really emotional thing for me. I mean, he's been my best friend since, you know, preschool.
Okay.
And
so he's not dying. He's just getting married.
I know.
And hang on.
And I didn't go into it planning on crying, you a-holes. I mean, you guys say, why do you cry? As if I was like, well, you know, I felt like it was a dramatic moment, and that was the right time for me to do so. I mean, I didn't want
to. Was it because you wanted to have sex with the groom and now he was off the market? Was that it?
No. I could definitely get better men.
Okay. All right.
Your speech was just so damn moving.
So you knew him since you were two, and you gave your speech and ran.
Yeah.
Well,
but you know, like after this, I was the last guy to speak. It was really like wrapping things up. After I spoke, it was cut the cake and dancing time.
That's true.
He
began at 2:30.
He doesn't eat cake.
And then by the time he was done, it was 11:30.
No,
he had been going on for 9 hours, and he was just exhausted.
Everyone was crying.
I know this is hard for you to believe, but it was short.
You've never done anything short. Ever.
My penis.
I'm talking about talking.
No, it was. It was real quick. But I didn't want to continue going because I didn't feel very comfortable crying in front of all those people. But then after I was speaking, it was like party time, like actual like cut loose time.
Right. But he's your friend, and you have friends there, right?
No, not really. I didn't have. I mean, I had a couple buddies people that I kind of knew, but most of the people were just his family.
Oh.
I mean, even though we've known each other and we're super close, he went to totally different schools and like had a whole separate network of friends and is really smart and successful. So we definitely ran with different crowds. I mean, his law school buddies and stuff were there.
Wow.
I mean, and it was me.
Yeah, you.
And
he did the right thing.
And it's not like people even noticed I was gone because there was like 200.
Cat Corbin is next.
And there's 250. Look, don't ask.
Don't tell.
250 right. people there. I mean,
hold on.
Like
let me pause you.
Right.
Let me pause you right there, Michael. 1-800-520-1067. Time for Kevin Beats. What to do, nephew? Hit it, Steve.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Some of the biggest names in auto racing. I'm talking your Tony Stewart, your Jimmy Johnson, your Dale Earnhardt Jr., and more will all be there going for the checkered flag at the Pepsi Max 400. It's happening Sunday, October 10th at the Auto Club Speedway. Go to autoclubspeedway.com or win your tickets right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show for being on the air on a Monday. What it do? Let's try Amanda to get us going. She is on line 3 and joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Amanda, please save us from Psycho Mike's story. Thank you for calling.
Hi guys. Hey, Tamay, what a do.
What a do.
Well, I'm the same Amanda that actually called at the beginning of August telling you guys that I had gotten a tattoo with the Mormon parents, wondering how I was going to tell them. You guys remember?
Because Mormon parents, not so happy about tattoos.
Yeah,
not so much. So my grandma passed away like a week after we got our tattoo, and we figured on the day of her funeral, my mom couldn't really be too pissed at us.
Wait. You're saying that you chose the funeral of your grandma?
Yeah, to tell our parents that we got a tattoo, that the three sisters got a tattoo.
Wow.
Okay.
My mom yelled at us, but she was like, "It's okay, I love you."
Wow.
Well, life is short.
You took advantage of that so much.
We did. And then my sister, oh my goodness, so dumb, she went and got the biggest tramp stamp I've ever seen.
Yeah.
2 weeks later, and then got her tongue pierced.
Oh my God, she's going off the rails.
Yeah, totally.
So what's her number?
Wow.
Man.
She's not into you, sorry.
Your poor mom.
Does she know it's 2010? What's with the tramp stamp
does.
And tongue piercing? It's not 1995.
I don't know. Maybe she missed it with drugs. I don't know.
Okay. All right. Well, good times, man. I'm glad it worked out for you. Thank you very much for the update on that. Mike is crying because you mentioned your grandma's funeral, and he's very emotional about that. Let's try. We'll try David. Let's try David. He's on line 4.
All right. Hi, David.
Hey, what's up? What did you guys?
What did you do?
So did you guys catch Ralph's epic role in Sharktopus this weekend?
Damn you, Sharktopus!
You bet. We have a recap of that coming up in about 20 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I know it was supposed to be cheesy. I did not expect Ralph to be easily the best actor in the movie.
He rocked it.
I thought the hot chick next to him was a better actress, to be honest. I didn't really notice
more
what
fun
he
to look
saying.
At, that's for sure. Yeah. Here's Ralph's big death scene for folks who won't be able to stick around.
Trust me, okay? There is no such thing as a Sharktopus.
That's it, being grabbed by the tentacle of the Sharktopus and dragged into the ocean.
Oh,
all right. Good times.
This is awesome. I'm glad you saw that. Thank you very much for the call. All right, we'll take Gina now, and that'll wrap it up for the Monday What It Do, nephew.
Look, if you got to go, that's a good way to go, I think.
Yeah, very dramatic.
Gina, hi.
Good morning, boys and Callie.
Good morning.
Hey. Don't make fun of my man, Bean. We went to the Hoover Dam just to see the new bridge being built, and I loved it. It was fascinating.
You went with Bean?
No.
Well, that would have been fun.
No.
No.
It wouldn't have been.
You guys make too much fun of him. I love him.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jeannie. By the way, it is
He begs it. He begs for it. You don't go to Vegas and that's all you mention.
It is the tallest bridge in America, by the way.
All right. Yeah. Tallest bridge.
Good to know.
What? Woo!
Oh, but right. It was. You got to go see it. It was really, really neat.
You're fat.
Oh, how dare you. Gina, I appreciate the support. Thank you very much for the call.
All right, you guys. Take care.
Bye.
That's my answer to anyone that I disagree with. You're fat. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Ha! Gay!
Let's talk about Bad Religion.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
How about them in studio performing live?
Awesome.
Let's talk about Jesse Eisenberg.
Yes.
Talking about The Social Network.
Movie looks awesome.
Which looks awesome, yeah. Adrian Grenier.
Grenier.
Highlights of Sharktopus. Mm-hmm. Like we told you, we're going to talk to Harvey Levin from TMZ.
Yeah.
And we've got comedian Patton Oswalt.
There you go. He's the best.
In the studio today. He is the best. So we'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat.
Thanks for tuning into the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Sharktopus was on the Sci-Fi Channel this Saturday night. We've got highlights of Ralph's performance from the movie coming up in about 10 minutes or so. First, though, Ralph is off filming another movie this week, if you can believe it. So we're going to take a look at the Showbiz Beat and start, as we do on Mondays, with the hot movies of the weekend. Wall Street Money Never Sleeps. Very, very mixed reviews among the critics. But the audience showed up. $19 million debuted at number one. Kevin, you get a chance to see it? I know that's one you were looking forward to.
I was looking forward to it, yes, but I had a busy weekend, so I didn't have time.
Okay.
That Michael Douglas, by the way, there's a handful of actors who are great in everything they do. Even if the movie is awful, they're so much fun to watch. And yeah. Michael Douglas is one of them. And this is one of the iconic characters that he's ever performed. So I think it might be worth checking out. Yeah, and, of course, our friend Shia LaBeouf in it as well. But that came in at number one. The Legend of the Guardians, the movie about the owls, I think they're secret agents or something. I never really got a bead on what those owls
either.
Are doing in that movie.
I didn't either. A lot of 3D and they're flying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they looked creepy, but do they kill? What do they do? Is it a horror movie?
Are they called the Protectors?
It's a horror movie.
is it a mystery? I don't know. I don't know what it is, but it did come in at number two with $16.3 million. Ben Affleck's directorial and starring role in The Town. Came in at number three, also with $16 million.
I saw that last week. That was great.
Yeah,
I hear that.
I love it.
And a great cast, top to bottom in that one, too, by the way. Easy A was number four with $10.7 million. You Again, terrible reviews for this one, by the way. This is with Kristen Bell and Betty White, Sigourney Weaver, debuted at number five.
That's the one they were doing that funny skit about? Where they were on Funny or Die or something like a week and a half ago.
That's right. $8.3 million. By the way, Richard Roper, the very popular film critic from Chicago, gave it an F. You Again gave it an F.
No.
Apparently, yes, it is that bad.
Wow.
Oh.
Devil came in at six. Resident Evil Afterlife was number seven. Alpha and Omega 8. Takers hanging on at number nine. And Inception, maybe the best movie of 2010 so far, hanging in there in the top 10 at $1.2 million for the weekend.
Lindsay Lohan had a busy weekend. She failed the drug test, as you know, last week.
Mm-hmm.
And then Friday, they put her in jail. And they said, you're going to have to stay here until the judge shows up, young
until
lady.
Until the hearing, yeah.
Until a week from now. And then her lawyer showed up and said, no, she doesn't. They can set bail. And then they set bail and she got out.
So she was in for 15 hours or so? Something like that.
She claims that she understands now that she has a problem. She is an addict, and she is putting herself back into rehab. So maybe this is the wake-up call. Maybe this is the bottom we've been waiting for her to hit. Because even last time when she went to jail, she was still making it sound like it was a big mistake, and she didn't have a problem, and blah, 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 blah. Yeah. So maybe this is a turnaround for the new Lindsay.
Last time she was forced into it. This time, I don't know if she's like, sometimes you have to force yourself into it to kind of get out of trouble. But at least it seems like it's on her this time.
And just real quick, this is the first time she said it almost immediately. Like when rumors came out that she failed the drug test, she went straight to Twitter and she's like, I'm sorry, I have a problem and I need your forgiveness. I mean, it was almost immediate.
She broke the story that time by tweeting that she had failed the drug test. That's how people found out about it in the press. So, yeah, she was definitely out ahead of that one. But she's got to, I mean, it has to be a wake-up call when you realize, hey, I'm not going to be able to work if I don't get this thing. You know, and eventually she would like to work again. Yeah. So we'll talk to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com in about a half an hour or so, and he can give us the ins and outs. He not only is the entertainment chief, but he is a lawyer, too, so he'll have some insight on
that. Do we call him the entertainment chief?
Never.
I like that. Let's do that.
There's a bunch of love in the air, including our friend Johnny Knoxville, who will be joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show in a couple weeks to talk about the new Jackass 3D. He got married over the weekend. He said, I do to Naomi Nelson. I have not seen her, but I guarantee she is unbelievably hot.
Yeah.
I believe.
Hey.
Oh, yeah. Oh, really? Oh, what a lucky dog he is. He bought her a 2.5-carat diamond ring, by the way. So apparently the jackass is working out pretty well for Johnny Knoxville.
Yeah.
They already have a 9-month-old son together. He, of course, has a teenage daughter from a previous marriage also. By the way, how cool is it if you're Madison and your dad is Johnny Knoxville? You rule, right?
Yeah, but if you're his new wife, I mean, look what you have to look forward to. For God's sakes. All his friends coming over and, you know, stapling body parts together and stuff. That would be tough.
Trying to protect your child.
Yeah.
You do know that half the time she comes downstairs in the morning and Wee Man is asleep on the couch. You know that that has to happen. Also, the beautiful Emily Deschanel, who is so hot and is one of the stars of Bones, she got married to a writer for It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia named David Hornsby. They got married Saturday in Pacific Palisades. So congratulations to them. And Crystal Bowersox. Kevin, you may not know the name, but most of us saw her on American Idol. She was the runner-up this year. She was the really talented one who had the bird's nest for a head.
Yes.
And the honked-up teeth. Apparently, she did get the teeth finally fixed near the end of the season. I wasn't watching, but she is engaged to her longtime boyfriend. You know, it's funny because on American Idol, so many times you see this story where they have a longtime partner before they go on the show. And then, of course, they're famous and their lives change and they end up breaking up. But she says, no, they're going to stay together. They've been together for years and years and years. They're going to get married next month.
Oksana Grigorieva.
Well done.
Yeah.
Signed a child custody agreement in May, which spelled it out as clearly as it can be that Mel Gibson, not only entitled to unsupervised contact with Lucia, but was getting joint legal and physical custody of the child.
Okay.
Mel Gibson.
Huh.
Joint
Scary
custody.
Mel?
Yeah, I don't know.
Interesting. Oh,
Scary Mel, yeah, but I mean, I don't know. Was this expected? Because I would not think he would want.
Well, after those tapes. Custody. Well, I think. That's a good question.
I don't know.
I was going to say, I don't know, as the mom, if I would want him to have joint custody.
No, I don't think I would either, but I will tell you that for all the crazy things we've heard about Mel Gibson, he's a bad human in a lot of ways. We've always heard he's a great father. Always heard he's very devoted to his children. And the one moment of sanity on all of those tapes that came out with him screaming at Oksana was, I want to take care of the child. I want to see the child. I want to be with the child.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe that's the part of Catholicism that he hung on to. Does the rest of it he seem to have forgotten?
Yeah.
But, I would think that, you know, just on the basis of those tapes, that she would be able to go into court and say, Judge, seriously, this man is a psychopath. There's no way this a little kid should be around him, and she would win.
And then Mel said to Lucia,
you are provocatively dressed all the time with your fake boobs. You feel you have to show off.
That was odd.
I've about had enough of these Real Housewives shows. How many of them are there?
Like,
I know there's Beverly Hills, there's Atlanta, there's New Jersey, there's New York, there's Washington, D.C.
There was Orange County. I don't know. Is that still going?
Maybe it is. That's six right there. One of the, I won't want to say contestant, but I guess it's not a game show. Camille Grammer, formerly Camille Grammer, now back to her maiden name, Camille Donatacci, who used to be married to Kelsey Grammer, is on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Oh, Camille?
Yes.
The one that had the IBS?
Yes.
No.
So
kidding.
She's doing press and was on Fox News over the weekend, and she's starting to spill some dirt a little bit about being married to Kelsey Grammer, which I hate, by the way, because I like Kelsey Grammer so much. Anyway, she said that the cast of Frasier had come to her one time and pleaded with her to make Kelsey Grammer wear underwear on the set.
Oh, no!
Are you kidding?
And I was trying to think, under what circumstances was that a problem? Like, what could have been happening that Kelsey, I mean,
you know,
if it was visible, if it was something that you could see by looking at it,
you would be wearing shorts during rehearsal?
Oh, maybe it's not during the taping, because during the taping they would never let him go on if it was obvious that he wasn't wearing underwear. But maybe you're right. Maybe it was during read-throughs and rehearsals and stuff. Maybe he was just flapping,
he was wearing sweatpants.
But the weird thing about that story is that most of the time that happens, it's inadvertent. No one notices. Maybe somebody notices, but no one says anything. By the time you get to, somebody has to tell him.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that going on.
Yeah.
They've already dropped a few hints, and it's already been like, hey, how about? Yeah, exactly.
Hey, seeing a lot of you there.
I mean, yeah, but I can't believe that. But The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills is the show, and she will be on it October 14th. That debuts on Bravo if you want to be like me and miss it. All right, I think we're out of time for this hour.
Somebody's got to tell him to put on underwear.
We got some great stories next hour, including Katy Perry's appearance on Saturday Night Live this weekend, where she maybe possibly has never looked hotter. It's How is she getting hotter every day? I don't know how Katy Perry does it.
I don't know. It does go against the laws of nature, but it's happening.
Take that, today's, Sesame Street.
Today's celebrity birthdays. The great Lil Wayne turns 28 today. He's still behind bars, I guess.
We were doing the free Lil Wayne chant at the Eminem show.
Awesome. Patrick Muldoon, handsome young man, best known perhaps for Melrose Place, turns 42 today. Wilford Brimley has a birthday today. And the only reason I bring it up is because he's been doing those diabetes commercials on my TV for like 20 years. And every time I see him, I can't believe he's still alive. I'm so shocked because he looks like he's about 100.
Is he the dude with the mustache?
Yes, the dude with the mustache. Yeah. He is only 76.
What?
How? I don't know if it's possible to look horrible for 76, but Wilford Brimley does.
He was 76 when I was born.
That's what I thought. I was shocked to find out he was only 76. Speaking of 26, Avril Lavigne turns that today. Stephen Jenkins, lead singer of Third Eye Blind, turns 46. But the real reason we celebrate today, ladies and gentlemen, the Meatloaf.
Yeah!
Meatloaf celebrates his birthday today.
Ladies and gentlemen, Meatloaf!
Still out there getting it done. He is 63. That is the Showbiz Beat. Got a huge Kevin and Bean show just ahead. Our friend Patton Oswalt will be here 1 hour from right now. Jesse Eisenberg from The Social Network on the show. Live music from Bad Religion and more coming up on the Kevin and Bean show. Give me a little Sharktopus theme there, would you mind?
Preacher with a double feature. If free cash fees, walls bless you, peace. They're twisted fish.
Sharktopus was the original sci-fi movie that aired on Saturday night for the first time, starring our own Ralph Garman along with Eric Roberts, who we had on the show last week. And that dude's crazy, too, by the way, Kevin. You get to hear Eric, but he's crazy.
Yeah, excellent.
He told us that he wanted to do this movie even though he's been in, you know, The Dark Knight and The Expendables. I mean, the guy's a big movie star. He said he wanted to do this movie because he always wanted to work with Roger Corman his whole life, the executive producer of this film. So that's why he did it.
I would imagine there are a lot of people like that.
Yeah, just because you want to be, you know, hanging out with a legend, right? So Sharktopus was on, and I'm sad that Ralph can't be here today because he's off doing some other work. But he was terrific in this role. He was really, really good. Kevin, you get a chance to see it?
I did not know.
Okay. He plays, and he's told us this leading up to Sharktopus debuting on Saturday night. He told us that he's playing a pirate radio DJ. And I thought, how can Ralph play a bitter, sex-obsessed DJ? How is it possible for him to dig deep within himself and pull that off? But it's very, very funny. And, man, he wasn't lying. He's out on a boat, and he has a producer slash assistant on the boat who is a former Miss USA, I think he told us.
All right.
Who has an unbelievably perfect body. And she's there in a tiny little bikini. It's just the two of them out on this boat.
All right.
And I'm thinking, that's not the worst job in the world. So here's a little bit of Ralph.
Provocatively dressed all the time. You're fake boobs. You feel you have to show off.
I know, I couldn't believe that that's the way he went with it. But here's scene one of Ralph Garman as Captain Jack, pirate radio DJ in Sharktopus. Please enjoy. And by the way, sounds exactly like Ralph Garman, too, which I love.
Okay, if that didn't get your booty shaken, have somebody check your pulse, because you might be dead. I'm Captain Jack, and this is PV Pirate Radio, Spring Break Destination. And just in case they're listening, I wanted to give a special shout-out to the FCC. Because those are the boys who kicked my ass out of America. And boys, you have doomed me to a life filled with sandy, beautiful beaches, smoking hot senoritas, and ice-cold pina coladas. You sure taught me a lesson. Folks, I may never leave here.
That's a rough grab on a Sharktopus.
Yeah.
All right, so he's bragging on the air, then the mic goes off, and then he reveals his true feelings about where he's at.
God, I hate it here.
You're kidding me, right? I mean, this place is amazing.
Yeah, whatever. And what is it with all this? What do you call it?
Sunshine?
Yes, sunshine. Enough of the freaking sun already. It's annoying. What do you got here?
Tell you in a sec. You are live in five.
Okay, so she just got a text message. Now, I don't know how high tech. I expected it to be a little bit more high tech in the internet age, but she gets all of her news that they relay to the people over the radio through text message.
Okay.
And you can always hear the text on her phone go off. And this is when this is when the news is starting to break that there is a Sharktopus out that is killing people in Puerto Vallarta where they're broadcasting in the spring break town.
Hey, party people, it's Captain Jack, and you are listening to PV Pirate Radio. First mate Steffi has just handed me some breaking news. Apparently, a half shark, half octopus has been sighted off the coast 2 miles south of Playa del Sol. According to sources, it is armed and dangerous. Well, yes, it's half octopus. It would be eight armed and dangerous, right?
I can't tell you how many people wrote in and said, file, you got to figure out a way to do it. You got to put Ralph in the file for eight armed and dangerous.
But you can't put a guy in a file for doing a script.
I know.
Oh, well, Stephanie apparently is hitting the tequila a little early today, and she's not sharing with her captain.
I always share with you.
Yeah. So what is this, Steffi? Is this some mad experiment gone horribly wrong?
Maybe they're doing a movie.
Oh, yeah. I can see that now. A former Navy SEAL / oceanographer is tracking down this abomination before it takes any more lives.
I'd watch it.
Yeah, I know you would, Steffi. That's because you're easily amused. I've seen you mesmerized watching a frozen burrito rotate in a microwave oven. Let's get back to the music, shall we? Coming up next, it's the Cheetah Whores, a very hot band out of New York City. Here's their latest hit. It's called Hot Rod Hell Kitten.
Meow.
That was Ralph, by the way, going,
wow.
And by the way, the Cheetah Whores, who I guess Ralph told us they are somehow related to the director. It's like the director's nieces or something like that. Apparently the only song that that DJ plays on the pirate radio. Every single time they go back to the boat, he's playing the Cheetah Whore.
No kidding.
So they got a lot of publicity. All right, so now the word is out. Ralph, of course, Captain Jack, doesn't believe that the Sharktopus is real, but they're getting more and more reports about how, you know, now there's footage of it on TV, and now more people are dying, and they're
Ralph
clearing the waters.
Ralph should know by now, man. Once they start clearing the waters and stuff, it's the people who go, I don't believe it. They get eaten.
Exactly,
you should know
yeah.
that.
So again, we're going through Ralph's scenes from Sharktopus on the Sci-Fi Channel this Saturday night. Here's what's up next.
You aren't going to believe this.
What? Finally ready to admit you're attracted to me?
How much does that seem just like here on the Kevin and Bean show?
I think
Ralph is the right choice to play this character, Brad.
Thank God. Sexual tension was unbearable.
Gross. God, you...
All right, easy. Simple no would have sufficed. Captain has feelings, you know.
All right, Jack, there has been another sighting of this creature, and now supposedly CNE is running footage of it.
Really? Wow. How gullible do you think I am?
Look, this isn't a joke, I swear. Just please warn the audience.
Okay, I'll warn them.
All right, let's see what he does.
Attention all hands. This is your captain speaking. We're getting more reports about this half-shark, half-octopus creature that's terrorizing the coast. But please, do not panic. There is a way we can stop this thing. Virgin sacrifices. Yes, the Mexican Fish and Game Commission assures me the only way to appease this beast is to offer it a beautiful virgin, preferably 18 to 25 years old. I repeat, Sharktopus wants our virgins. So, all prospective candidates, please email your photos, preferably nudes,
yes.
to CaptainJack at pvpirateradio.com. I wish there was another way. I'm sorry. This is our only hope. Damn you, Sharktopus!
Yeah! Damn you, Sharktopus! All right. One more scene. By the way,
but at this point, he still doesn't believe?
He still doesn't believe. Right. He still thinks it's all a big put on, right?
All right.
Damn you, Sharktopus, by the way, is the line that got Ralph the job, basically. I mean, he started saying that on the air, and they ended up casting him in the thing, and he ended up ad-libbing it, and it shows up in the movie, and that was their promotional tool, was Damn you, Sharktopus, the little buttons and everything. All right, one more scene with Ralph, and this is very, very tragic, because they got a record on by the Cheetah Whores, and they go upstairs, him and his assistant in her bikini, the hot chick. They go up, and they're standing outside on the boat, and I think you can tell, you know, the guy who doesn't believe in Sharktopus is about to meet Sharktopus, and it is not going to be pretty.
Can you live with yourself?
So you're not punking me in this thing?
No.
Steffi, this has to be a hoax, okay? It's gotta be. There's no way a shark, octopus, fishy thingy really exists.
Well, I hope you're right.
Trust me, okay? There is no such thing as a shark.
He gets grabbed by the Sharktopus and dragged into the water, and he is gone. And it's so funny because,
that's awesome.
Look, this movie is supposed to be cheesy. It's supposed to be a throwback to those kinds of movies that they made with the giant monsters attacking, you know, back in the 1950s. And the special effects have not improved at all. At this budget level, the special effects are about what they were doing back then. Yeah, exactly.
So it's a guy with his hand in a puppet? What is it?
It's all CGI. So Ralph is standing there just waving his hands in the air with his head is going back and everything like that, and then they CGI in the tentacle from the octopus that drags him into the water, but it's so funny. The movie was really, really a lot of fun, and I'm not kidding when I say that Ralph was the best actor in the film, and I know it will rerun on the Sci-Fi Channel, but you definitely have to check it out. There's no way to not watch and think, damn you, Sharktopus! Audio Slave on the way, also MGMT and Muse. Kevin, you were at the Muse last night.
Oh,
great as always.
So good.
Yeah,
that's what I've heard.
They're amazing. They have a huge light show. It's really impossible to explain to people. You have to see it. And they're just so talented. You just sit there going, wow. You know what? Even if you don't like their music, you have to look at them and go, that is one of the most talented bands I've ever seen.
Wow.
Yeah. Good times.
Unbelievable.
All right, it's Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show. That means it's time to check in with our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Harvey, how was your weekend, man?
It was good, guys. How was yours?
Good.
Good.
Good. Great to talk to you, especially today. All the fireworks happened after we got off the air on Friday, but Lindsay showed up for a court appearance. They sent her to jail, made it look for a minute like she was going to be there till late October, and then everything turned around. Give us a recap. What happened?
Well, we were really stunned by this. What we had been hearing inside the courts was the judge was just going to basically, you know, put her in custody, set bail, she'd get out. There was a bail bondsman actually there ready to do it. And then the judge just decides, I'm going to basically warehouse her until October 22nd. And he can't do that. That's the weird thing about it. He's not legally allowed to do that.
So that's almost a month.
Wow.
But he can't do it because under California law, if somebody is up on a misdemeanor, which she is, I mean, these are all misdemeanor charges, you have to set bail. So she went to jail, and then her lawyer, Sean Chapman Holly, basically ran all over town figuring out where to file this appeal, and ultimately went downtown, and a judge reversed the judge in Beverly Hills, and she got sprung on $300,000 bail on Friday night.
And the reason for this controversy over how bail is supposed to be used, and I'm glad you're also an attorney, Harvey, maybe you can explain it to me, is that bail isn't meant to be a punishment for somebody. It's not because the judge is ticked to you. It's really only supposed to be to make sure that you're likely to show up for your court appearances, right? Yeah, that's what it's supposed to be used for exclusively.
Absolutely. And it's very predictable, too. I mean, there are bail schedules. In this case, the judge really kind of set a schedule, or Revelle set a schedule, that, you know, she every time she violated her probation, it went up a certain amount. But the bottom line is, yeah, you have to get bail if it's a misdemeanor. You can't do it because you're pissed at somebody. And I'm not saying the judge did that. But for whatever reason, what he did, he couldn't do.
Why would he have done that? Didn't he know
that's
that?
Really good question.
He doesn't know that he can't?
He's a really good judge, and he's really smart, and he's been around for a long time. I can't figure it out. I can tell you that there are a lot of other people in the court system who are kind of stunned by it.
Yeah. Huh. What happens when Lindsay Lohan shows up October 22nd?
Well, that's what's interesting. She's going to show up on October. First of all, she's going to go to rehab quickly. She should be there within a day or two, and that's really her choice. We found out over the weekend she realizes she's got an addiction problem and that, you know, you fall, you stand, you fall, but she's desperate.
How does going to the swimming pool at the Hard Rock on Sundays help you with your problems?
No. Different rehab. This is a different kind of rehab.
Different rehab.
Sorry, okay.
So she's doing that. In the meantime, there's going to be this court hearing. The judge is probably going to sentence her to 30 days because of this failed drug test, because that's what he said he was going to do. If you sentence somebody to 30 days for a probation violation in L.A. County, given overcrowding, it becomes a revolving door. She will literally be out in about 2 hours. It'll be book and release.
She's out. Wow. Unbelievable. So Michael Lohan looked at this as an opportunity to once again get his name in the news, and TMZ had lots of coverage on that. Did he really threaten her attorney after this thing went down on Friday?
Well, he went crazy on her. I mean, Sean Chapman-Holly, first of all, she is a great lawyer, and this woman literally ran. I mean, this sounds like this story about like this Russian family in the snow, but she ran all over town. In 100-degree weather in heels on Friday. And she did. And just ran all over, you know, because she was sent to different courthouses, got Lindsay sprung. Meanwhile, Michael's sending her a letter saying that I'm going to blow the lid off of you. I'm going to dig up dirt on you.
God, he's such
an
ass.
God.
He was blaming his wife, too, right?
Blaming his wife, but went crazy on Holly. So the great thing is we found out over the weekend, we wanted to find out. She wouldn't talk to us, but we found out that she is not going to seek a restraining order against him. So, I mean, it is the classic case. I should have put this on the site. Literally, Michael Lohan cannot get arrested in Hollywood.
Wow.
I mean, literally.
That is unbelievable.
Harvey, so many people have been asking. I was in Las Vegas over the weekend visiting my dad, and my dad said, why is this woman getting so much press? She's not a major star. I know she has a bit part in Machete, but she hasn't starred in a movie in several years. Why is there this fascination with Lindsay? And I tried to explain. I can't explain it, but I do know, and I'm sure it's still the case on your side, is that people are desperate for more information on her in this case, right?
Totally. And I mean, look, if you look at the O.J. Simpson trial, he wasn't the biggest star in the world by any means. He was like this B-minus star at best. And yet, it had sex and violence and all sorts of stuff, and it became riveting for the country. This is really a mirror of everything that's bad about family in America. And you look at these two crazy parents, you look at this kid who it represents everything dangerous about Hollywood,
yeah.
where somebody too young gets thrown into this mix without parental supervision. The parents are trying to make money off of her. She's, it just becomes, it's a real life soap opera, and people want to see how it turns out.
You sure can watch it and look at her parents and go, this is where it went wrong.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I mean, look, to me, there's no doubt about that. The debate that everybody around here is having is who's worse, and people keep going back and forth.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's
a
tough call.
Who is worse?
He is.
I think he's worse.
But it would sure be a difficult argument.
Having said he's worse, though, I also agree with you, Harvey, when he was in all that hot water, a month ago or so for all the things he was saying on Larry King and whatnot, that he was right. He has been right all along in terms of trying to get her medical assistance, medical treatment before legal treatment. And he's been the one who's been out there saying that from the beginning.
And Dean is the one who's saying it's, she's not bad and it's not her fault and people need to leave
her
alone.
Wow. That's a tough argument.
You mean Dean, at least?
Yeah.
She's the enabler.
Yeah, totally.
And then when you kind of separate their arguments about Lindsay and you look at what they're doing with publicity and God knows what they're making off of all of these interviews,
yep.
and let me just tell you, but, unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Well, when will Lindsay do her sit-down interview for her big payday?
It's so funny. I know that Oprah wanted to get her, but everybody wanted to get her. But what I'm hearing is she's kind of like not decided not to do it yet because she doesn't know what to talk about. I mean, what do you say? I mean, how do you go in and say I don't have a problem? I do have a problem. I mean, she's so screwed up in her head. What does she say?
She talks about jail.
Yeah. I mean, it really is, it's a tough one. So I'm hearing that she's not really jumping, even though she knows she can make money, and ultimately she probably will because she's desperate for money, that, she hasn't decided yet how she's going
to
do it.
Well, I hope she comes down to the noon video chat on TMZ.com. I hope that's where she decides to finally tell her story.
1:30, truth be told.
That's what we mean.
1:30, sorry.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, TMZ.com is the entertainment website of record. Check your local television listings for TMZ TV on 6 times a day in Southern California, by the way, so there's no excuse not to be watching it. Thanks to our friend Harvey Levin for joining us. Have a great week, man.
See you guys.
Speaking of showbiz, Tommy Lee back in the news. We don't hear much from Tommy anymore. What's he doing now? I guess he's got a new Methods of Mayhem album that just came out, right?
Does he? I don't know. I haven't heard any of that.
Mm-mm.
But I haven't seen a tremendous amount of publicity for that. It just seems like he's been a little bit off the radar. Maybe part of it is that he has stopped drinking. Maybe that's why we don't hear from Tommy anymore.
Yeah.
But he was in the news lately because police were called 3 different times after complaints in the neighborhood for a rave birthday party that he was throwing for he and Pam Anderson's 14-year-old son, Brandon. By the way,
yes.
I can't believe little Brandon is 14 already either, by the way.
Oh, can you imagine having Tommy Lee as your dad?
That'd be the best,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you're 14 years old.
It does seem like there would be a lot of hot chicks at the pool, that's for
they
sure.
Had a
so
rave?
Anyway, they had a rave. I love that so much. 3 times the cops were called. So we thought, let's find out what really happened because we're lucky enough to have a good relationship with the great Motley Crue drummer, Tommy Lee, who joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Tommy?
Tommy? Can you move away from the speakers?
We can barely hear you, Tommy. Can you move away from the... Okay, I guess we sort of make out what you're...
Move away from the speakers.
What?
Move away from the speakers.
Hey, Oakenfold! Turn it down!
Wait, you got Paul Oakenfold there?
Yeah, hey, man.
That's pretty cool for a 14-year-old.
Yeah, no kidding. Look, I thought this party...
What are you guys up to, man?
Well, we wanted to find out about this party, but I thought this party happened weeks ago. I didn't know it was still going on.
No, party don't stop till the panties drop. Yeah.
So, your little boy Brandon is 14, and he said to you, Dad, this is the coolest thing. My party got closed down by the cops.
Oh, it didn't get stopped, man. I mean, it's still going on.
Oh, so they just came out and told you to turn it down 3 times.
Well, when the fuzz comes a-running, kapow.
Yeah, you've said that a lot.
Hey,
you're known for that.
Rip and shred, man.
So what other kind of entertainment do you have at the party besides the great Paul Oakenfold?
Oh, hey, Ozzy, stop it, man.
What?
Little Johnny doesn't need to be doing that. All right.
Don't let little Johnny around, Ozzy.
Tara Patrick, you're so silly. All right. Well, what kind of, I mean, like, of course I had, you know, the stripper petting zoo.
Stripper petting zoo, sure.
Yeah, and, you know. Cocaine snow cones. Ha!
Cocaine snow cones.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your son is 14.
Oh, yeah.
That doesn't strike you as a little,
hey,
I don't know,
hey,
young?
Little Paulie Madison, get away from that Ferrari. All right.
What was the child's mother, Pam Anderson, there?
Pam Anderson?
Yeah. Was she there? Tommy?
No, but Leslie Nielsen was.
Oh, that's a surprise. Listen, what about Brandon? Is he there? I don't think we've ever spoken with him. Could
Who's
we talk
that?
To him?
Who's
Brandon,
that?
Your son, the one you called Little Johnny a minute ago?
Yeah. sure.
Brandon, the birthday boy.
Okay, let me get him.
All right, let's talk to him.
Hey, go. Put that goat down. Come
what?
Here.
Put the goat down?
Yeah.
What kind of party is this?
Hey, what's up?
Tommy, yeah. we're looking for your son Brandon.
Hey, what's up, it's Brandon Lee?
Tommy, we're looking for your son.
Yeah. I am, man. I'm Brandon, yeah.
But you sound exactly like your dad.
Genetics, man. It's just like Darwin said.
Yeah?
Yes.
Did Darwin say something?
He said, was
there more to that?
You know.
Right.
Go for it.
He didn't say that. Tommy, you don't know where Brandon is, do you?
What?
You don't know where he is.
Yeah.
Eighth grade rips, man. Let me tell you something. Ain't
yeah?
no party like an eighth grade party, because an eighth grade party, don't stop.
You are definitely your father's son then, Brandon,
hey,
if this
man.
Is really you.
Look. Life can throw you a curveball, so
right.
rip and shred.
Right. Okay, good advice. We've all learned a little something here today. Thank you. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman is off filming a movie this week. We are going to fill in on the showbiz beat, and we get started today with an interesting study, survey, poll, assessment, list from Billboard magazine. This is the top 10 musical artists under the age of 21.
I'm about to get a copy of that.
Okay, this is the most successful under 21-year-old artists in America. Okay?
Okay. Okay, currently?
Currently, yes, right now, as of right now.
So it has to be Bieber. Has to be
Bieber's
yeah.
number two.
What?
Bieber's number two in terms of, now he seems like he's everywhere in the whole world because we're on the internet and you can't avoid him on the internet, but he is not the most successful under 21-year-old.
Under 21. Is it Taylor Swift under 21?
It is, in fact, Taylor Swift.
Okay, guess. You're so good at these.
Yeah, you're always great at lists. Taylor Swift is number one, Justin Bieber number two, Selena Gomez number three. Of course, you know, you look at her and she's got movies, she's got the TV shows, she's also got records out. Charisse is number four. She is that unbelievably popular Filipina singer with great voice who just joined the cast of Glee this week. So we're going to be seeing a lot more of her.
Oh, yeah.
Soulja Boy Tell Him number five. Oh. Nick Jonas of the Jonas Brothers number six. Here's the one that hurts me. Willow Smith is number seven.
Oh, come on.
What? Now,
Willow Smith.
She hasn't sold record one yet, right?
No.
She just had that song that just came out a couple weeks ago, that one about Braid My Hair or whatever thing's called.
And it got a debut on Oprah, if I believe, right? That's where they debuted that single?
So I don't know where Billboard is coming up with Willow Smith being hotter than Demi Lovato, who's number eight. So you explain that to me.
That's weird.
Grayson Chance is number nine. He's that YouTube sensation who was signed to a record label owned by Ellen DeGeneres. She kind of discovered him and put him on the show. He's very talented, too. And number 10, Miley Cyrus, who, by the way, seems suddenly old.
Yeah,
because
she's
been around for so long. But yeah. I just thought that was an interesting list with people who make more money before, in some cases, they turn 18 than most of us will ever make in our whole lives.
Did you think that Lady Gaga's outfit from the MTV Video Music Awards was real? Because I didn't.
The meat?
I didn't think the meat dress was real.
At first I did not. At first I didn't.
Well, apparently designer Frank Ferdinand revealed to AbsoluteNow.com that the dress, which was simply cuts of meat placed over her body, is being archived and won't be worn again.
Ugh.
Do they make it into jerky? How are they going to archive
it?
I imagine they're just going to let it turn into jerky on its own. I don't know. But I didn't know it was actual meat.
That's gross.
That's awesome.
She wore meat.
They had to pull that seat out, right, and change it?
Every seat.
Sitting on meat?
She wore meat.
Oh, Lisa May.
She was sitting
Gene
on
Simmons'
meat.
Gene Simmons' head just blew up, okay?
But here's the question that I have for you. That meat stayed pink, and please don't try to read anything into it other than what I'm saying. When you have meat out of your refrigerator, doesn't it start to brown after a pretty short while? It doesn't stay like that. How was she able to wear it all day and all evening onto the show? I don't.
She only wore for a short time.
Yeah, didn't she change like
that? Was probably in a freezer or a really cold, you know, refrigerator, like it would be in a restaurant. It was probably high quality meat, and she put it on, came out for 20 minutes, and put it back. And
she sat on it and put it on her head. She did it with that meat.
So much meat.
Look, I'm grossed out by it because, especially me, because I don't eat the cows. But even if you like meat, you don't want to wear it on your skin, right? You would not enjoy wearing a meat hat, would you, Kevin?
Well, I don't know. A meat hat. Just for the novelty of it, maybe. But that's so weird.
John Hamm back in the news, the immensely popular star of Mad Men on AMC. He plays Don Draper. He also has a recurring role as one of Tina Fey's boyfriends on 30 Rock. Mm-hmm. He did an interview with Details Magazine recently, so I'm sure Mike saw it. It doesn't take... Yep. He's talking about reality stars and comparing them to porn actors, okay? It doesn't take much for them to put you on TV. If that's all you want, you can be on The Bachelor or The Real Housewives or whatever show just wants oversized personalities, ridiculous behavior, and zero dignity. Then he went on to compare reality shows to porn films. If you just want to be famous, that's not that much different from porn. He said, I'm a movie star. No, you're not. You're a porn star, and that's completely different. You're selling your dignity in a way that I'm not, he continued. And once you sell it, it's gone. You ain't getting it back.
Hey, buzzkill.
Yeah, I'm with Kevin, by the way. Anyone who comes... Look, you're on a cable show, John Hamm. Don't be talking down to chicks who are making porn, all right?
Yeah.
They're a hell of a lot more important than you are. They're contributing a hell of a lot more to America than you are.
That's what I'm saying.
But we don't come in every week talking about porn stars. We come
in talking about
John Hamm.
What's wrong with you?
All right, I'll speak for myself.
Why don't you just continue to show up and read your cue cards and let the women with the real talent do the job that doesn't require cue cards because they're better than you are. I love him and I love his show, but shut up.
Yeah.
Right? Who's with me on that?
We do not need his input on this topic.
And before we leave for this hour and make way for Patton Oswalt, box office over the weekend because it is Monday. Wall Street Money Never Sleeps, the return of Gordon Gekko. I didn't see it. I don't know anyone who saw it, so I don't know if Greed is still good or not. But Michael Douglas debuts at number one at the box office over the weekend with $19 million this weekend. The Owl movie, Legends of the Guardians, came in at two with 16.3. Just behind was The Town, the Ben Affleck film, also co-starring John Hamm, that ungrateful bitch, at number three with also $16 million. Easy A, then You Again, debuting at number five. They can't be very happy with that. Devil at number six, Resident Evil Afterlife, Alpha and Omega Takers, and Inception rounds out your top ten.
Birthdays I don't have. Do you have those?
I do. Sure. Avril Lavigne turns 26 years old today. Canadian pop rock singer. The great Meatloaf turns 63 today. Stephen Jenkins from Third Eye Blind is 47. Wilford Brimley, who I guess I'm supposed to be concerned that I have diabetes or something. I can't believe he's still alive, but he is 76 today. Oscar-winning actress Gwyneth Paltrow is 38 today. And the real reason we're celebrating is Free Little Wayne, right?
Yeah.
Who's with me on Free Little Wayne?
Free Little Wayne.
Today, Little Wayne.
By the way, you don't lock a guy up for having a gun on his bus. He's a rapper, for God's sakes. Give him a gun on his bus. What's the harm?
Little Wayne had a gun.
Like,
really,
gun.
Cut him some slack. That's
exactly. Almost like having none.
He didn't have an arsenal.
Exactly.
He wasn't rolling with the TI.
He should have been cited for not having two.
Little Wayne is 28, and that is the show business. Bad Religion, next hour on The Kevin and Bean Show, performing live. Also, Adrian Grenier, talking about his movie about the teenage paparazzi. A lot of foreign languages in that sentence. And Jesse Eisenberg joins us in minutes, one of the stars of The Social Network, coming up here on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. By the way, if you're out driving in Southern California today and Patton Oswalt is in the car next to you, go ahead and roll down your window and remind him he's supposed to be here now.
Yeah, that works sometimes. It worked with Kat Von D.
That's how we got her. We tracked her down. Yeah. Tracked that out on the freeway. So maybe Patton's running late. We don't know. But hopefully he'll be joining us here in just a few minutes.
He's sketchy. That guy, Patton Oswalt, sketchy.
I know. But you know what? He can be sketchy because when he comes in, he delivers.
He's funny. Yeah, I hear you.
Want to get the benefit of the doubt. All right. So what are we going to talk about? Want to talk about Mike? Want to talk about Lindsay? Okay.
Let's talk about Lindsay. Yeah.
Here's the thing. We were talking to Harvey Levin a few minutes ago about Lindsay Lohan. He was updating us with what's going on with her trials and tribulations, in and out of court, in and out of rehab, in and out of jail. And there are a certain amount of people who just are rolling their eyes and are just sick of her and they don't want to have anything to do with her anymore. There are people who are interested in the story, and I think this is the category that I'm falling into, who really feel like she has run out of the benefit of the doubt in my mind. I feel like at this point, look, I understand that she's a drug addict and it's hard for me to put myself in those shoes and know what those desires must be like. I get that that's difficult, but she has had so many wake-up calls and so many opportunities to take it seriously and do something about it. I don't blame her for being a drug addict. I do blame her for not stopping being a drug addict. Yeah. And Psycho Mike, who comes from a place with a lot more experience on this topic than I do, feels the exact opposite.
Yeah, it's not that you're wrong. She should be held responsible for her own recovery. You can't blame her for being a drug addict. You can blame her for not doing something about it. The thing is that what you perceive to be a wake-up call may not be a wake-up call at all to her. And none
of it. Stop it then. She should stop it.
Well, you know that's not how addiction works.
Bean's point is stop it.
I know. That's right. That's what I'm saying.
We all probably know someone in our life who is affected by addiction. And the thing is that a lot of these people are very reasonable, responsible people otherwise. But they have 3 DUIs. Or they got a divorce because of it. Or they lost a job. And it doesn't sink. It has absolutely no reflection on whether or not they're going to stop using that drug of choice or engage in gambling or shopping addiction. It's until they interpret it to be a circumstance that scares them. And the reason why I feel so bad, particularly for Lindsay, is because I know that I still struggle. And I've been sober close to 9 years. And I still struggle with it on a day-to-day basis. And I have a really good support group.
Right.
Really strong. A lot of people that love me and care about me and help me. Lindsay Lohan has sycophants and Michael and Dina.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like,
and that's why I honestly feel just a little bit extra sorry for her. And I know because she's wealthy and a celebrity, it's easy to kind of just, you know, roll your eyes at Lindsay. But in my opinion, I think that she is a kind of a sad case. And I just also feel like it's weird. Everybody seems to have an opinion on Lindsay.
Yeah,
she's not one of those people that you just kind of don't care about.
Right. It wasn't like she was the biggest movie star in the world. I think she happens to be hot is probably why most people care.
Absolutely.
That's true.
Absolutely.
But you know, then you're a celebrity and then people want to give you drugs and they want you to party. I mean, and you've got money and you've got time. That seems like a bad recipe.
Also, it is. Absolutely. I'm pulling for her, Mike. I like her.
You're not pulling for her.
I am. I'm absolutely pulling for her. I like her and I think I have seen her be a good actress before. And I would like to see her get back to that. I'd like to see her be out of the tabloids. I'd like to see her, you know, clean up her act and have a successful, happy, healthy life and career. I mean, I really would. But I'm running out of patience with her when she goes to court-ordered rehab, and the whole time she's in rehab, all we hear from her is, I don't have a problem, this is a mistake, I shouldn't be here, rather than it would have been a fantastic opportunity when she was in rehab to say, I'm so glad I'm finally here because I really do have a problem with drugs, please help me. And she didn't do that. It's only now that she's failed a drug test that she's starting to admit that she's an addict.
And maybe this was her kind of come-to-the-light moment. I know it sounds corny, but everyone kind of has to hit that rock bottom. I know you hear that term thrown around, but it's the truth. And plenty of people go to rehab being for court-ordered rehab and are completely in denial the whole time and
right.
are just waiting for that moment to get out to start drinking
but
and using
don't
again.
Do you think that jail... Like, to me, jail would be a wake-up call.
Absolutely.
For somebody like her, because she's, not only does she have her freedom, but she's a celebrity, and she gets to go play, she gets in free, nightlife, everything's great. Now, all of a sudden, she's in jail. That's not a wake-up
call?
There's
people whose judgment is so tainted by whatever their addiction may, whatever their addiction may be, that death of a loved one in a direct relation to their use doesn't wake them up. I mean, there's extreme circumstances that doesn't sink in unless for some reason something else motivates the person internally. And like I said, I mean, we also neglect to remember just how young Lindsay Lohan is.
Yeah,
because she's been famous
for so long
and she's weathered herself.
That's true.
She's like, isn't she like 24?
Something like that. Yeah.
I mean, most people are dumb as is at 24. Let alone you throw in the fact that she has a really bad icons and also
role models
in her life and practically for her entire life.
Right, do you feel sorry for her, or do you understand, or are you upset with her? Have you had it?
Shouldn't she have to go live with Dr. Drew? And I don't mean celebrity rehab. I mean live with Dr. Drew in full-time supervision. That's what I think.
Too
that
sexy.
Would be interesting.
He's too sexy.
He's too sexy.
He is too
yeah.
sexy.
Not fair.
That's true. Yeah. I bet the three examples that you gave of ways that people feel, I bet it's 33, 33, 33. I bet everybody is all over the map on this. There are a lot of people who feel sorry for her, a lot of people who are just angry with her, a lot of people who are bored with her. I bet we'll get a wide variety of opinions with what to do with Lindsay Lohan next. But please don't misunderstand. I do wish the best for her. I'm frustrated with her at this point. And I know that's probably not fair because I have no idea what it's like to actually be a drug addict and how much that must mess with your mind. But, I mean, what kind of ending is this story going to have? That's what we don't know yet.
I'm here to venture a bet that lesbians and straight males are going to feel a lot more empathy for Lindsay Lohan than other people. You know?
That's an interesting bet.
You think so?
Yeah.
All right. Do you feel sorry for her?
Are you angered?
Or are you just so tired of hearing about it?
I have to say that I'm tired of hearing about it, but it's in the news all the time. So even if you don't want to hear about it, it's kind of shoved right in your face.
Well, it is.
That's
but
what she said.
It's done that way because sites like Harvey Levin at TMZ,
right.
They get results.
Yeah,
people buy magazines that she's on, you know, and they read stories about her. They're endlessly fascinated with her.
Yeah,
and I wouldn't read half of the stuff I did if it wasn't like that. It is on every magazine cover. It's bizarre. But she's hot.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's that.
Let's not forget
that's
that.
The important thing. All right. 1-800-520-1067. Give us a call. Tell us what you think. We'll take your calls right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, we're talking about convict Lindsay Lohan.
Lindsay! 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 Lindsay Lohan?
There's Mike trying to help her out. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number. We want to find out where you are on this broad. Are you feeling sorry for her? Are you wanting her to be locked up forever? Do you want her to be killed by a machete?
Hey,
what do you think?
Easy.
I'm just saying.
She had a 1-800 sexy scene in the swimming pool, for God's sake.
1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Devorah. Devorah is on line 7 here on The Kevin and Bean Show and gets us started. Hey, Devorah, welcome to the show. What's going on?
Hey, good morning. Hi, Lisa Mae.
Hi.
I'm a high school art teacher, and, you know, I see all these kids, and I just feel sorry for her. I mean, if you don't have good parents, she was a child star. All these child stars get all screwed up.
Yeah,
it happens.
They don't have a lot of support, and then we throw them to the wolves, and everybody's looking at her and saying, you know, pointing a finger at her. Poor thing, you know?
But Devorah, she's hot.
And?
I don't know. That's just my point. That's my whole point.
Mike, let me ask you this, Mike. Is it worse for her because she's in Hollywood and she's around drugs so much, or is that too much being made of that because lots of people who aren't in show business also around drugs all the time?
I mean, look, she's definitely tempted more, but that would all be taken care of very quickly if she was good about her recovery and then didn't surround herself in those situations. I mean, even though she's a big star, she could easily stay home once she gets out of jail and rehab. And
yeah, she doesn't seem to like to do that, does she?
Let's not get crazy.
She hit the Chateau Marmont like the night she got out of rehab. I mean,
thank you, Devorah. So 1-4, I feel sorry for her.
All right. Let's take Jack. Jack is on line 8 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Jack. Welcome to the show. What say you?
Oh, hey, Kevin and Bean. Lisa Mae.
Hi.
Hi.
Basically, I really believe that she should just be locked up. She's had enough chances. I don't believe that she should be treated any differently. You know, it's kind of showing that our justice system is failing just because she has money.
No, because she's hot.
I totally agree that she's
hot. Right. What do you mean our justice system is failing? You mean because she doesn't stay in jail?
She doesn't stay in jail for the proper amount of time that someone else, like, let's say, okay, now maybe not you guys, but let's say someone like me gets convicted for something like that.
I know you say that, but every legal expert that I have seen talking about Lindsay Lohan says she has not gotten any special treatment with the amount of time that she has spent behind bars. It happens for every single person in Los Angeles County because of the overcrowding. Remember, these are misdemeanors. I mean, that's what Harvey was telling us last hour, for instance.
Exactly.
If you thought she got special treatment because she was able to get out Friday after a few hours behind bars because she was able to post bail, not special treatment. That's the same thing that would have happened to you if you had a good attorney. Now, you could certainly argue that she's got good legal representation to make it happen.
I think that has a lot to do with it.
Your attorney's not running around all day trying to get you out.
If you have the dough to hire that kind of attorney, you do get a better time than if you didn't. I mean, let's be honest. Jack can't hire her, so he is stuck in jail probably.
Drug-related charges, non-violent charges, drug-related charges that have no intent to sell. A lot of times, the court will let you go early because they don't want to fill the jails with a bunch of people who are just addicts.
So we can start slinging?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, Jack.
Something like a three-strike rule.
It doesn't apply to misdemeanors, does it?
Right.
Yeah.
Jack, would you? Why do you like jail over rehab for her? Because a lot of people, including Dr. Drew, say this is a medical problem that she has, not a legal system problem.
Well, this is going to sound really cliche, but I'm sorry.
That's strike one for you.
Exactly. No, but seeing someone constantly going in and out, it kind of looks like to me that's about it. She's in the death spiral. She's not going to get out of that.
Right.
Well, she's 24. I'm not really willing to write her off for life. I mean, she certainly could turn her life around. There are other people who have been troubled. You look at a guy like Robert Downey Jr., who for a lot longer than Lindsay has had drug problems and was in and out of jail, in and out of rehab. There's a guy who's completely turned his life around, and I think you're happy that he did. I mean, he's a contributing citizen now.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, we also look at people like Courtney Love, you know, who took, what, 20, 25 years of spiraling just to get out?
Right.
Yeah, but Jack, yeah. I mean, would it help anybody in society to put a person like Courtney Love or Lindsay Lohan in jail? They're not hurting anybody but themselves. And there's really no way to prevent that by keeping them incarcerated.
Plus, she's hot.
And she's hot. That's the point that Kevin wants to get back to. Thank you for the call, Jack. All right, so we took the first call from Devorah. She felt sorry for her. Then we took the second call from Jack, and Jack was like, throw away the key.
Right.
Now let's take the third option. This is Zach talking about the fascination that everybody seems to have with the Lindsay Lohan story. You can't avoid it even if you want to. Hi, Zach. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good.
Morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
So, all right, so my take on it is we should just leave it the way it is. Let her go in, let her go out, let her go in, let her go out. It's kind of like
a
drama TV series. You know, you got your two main characters, male and female, the sexual tension, it never goes away. If you ruin it, the episode is ruined.
So this is your TV
so
show.
So this is your TV show, you're saying.
Let it go. Love it.
Okay.
I love it.
Well, that's what Harvey said is the reaction he gets on TMZ.com is that it's a real life soap opera that's so much fun to follow and it plays out a little bit every day and you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know how it's going to end and you're kind of sad if it finally finishes, right?
Definitely. I think somebody's missing out on some serious advertisement deals for commercials during these court cases.
So you think if she got her act together, it would bum you out?
Yeah, totally. Then I wouldn't see her on TV going to court anymore, crying in court and stuff.
Well, there's still time for her little sister, Allie, to go down the same path. So maybe there will be a sequel.
Thank you for the call.
I sure hope so.
Bye now.
Very excited about our friends in Bad Religion returning to the Kevin and Bean Show next half hour. They will also be playing live for us here on the show. And Adrian Grenier from Entourage. He's Vince on Entourage, don't you know? He's got a new movie out, a documentary that is a fascinating topic. So we got that all coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. This Social Network, by the way, is a movie we've been looking forward to for a long time. Directed by David Fincher, who's done so many great movies. Written by Aaron Sorkin, who's done so many great movies and TV shows. But doesn't Facebook seem like the easiest idea in the world when it's not your job to come up with it?
Of course.
How come? Why didn't I?
I mean, I know.
It seems so obvious. And all of these giant things. I mean, this guy's worth $1 billion.
Yeah.
I heard he was the youngest billionaire in history. This guy that Jesse Eisenberg plays, Mark Zuckerberg, the creator of Facebook, the youngest billionaire in history. And play the clip from the film that features Mr. Eisenberg, too, because this shows you how simple a concept it is as you look back in retrospect.
People came to Face Mash in a stampede, right?
Yeah.
But it wasn't because they saw pictures of hot girls. You can go anywhere on the internet and see pictures of hot girls.
Yeah.
It was because they saw pictures of girls that they knew. People want to go on the internet and check out their friends, so why not build a website that offers that friends, pictures, profiles, whatever you can visit, browse around. Maybe it's someone you just met at a party. But I'm not talking about a dating site. I'm talking about taking the entire social experience of college and putting it online.
No. That's not that difficult to come up with.
Well, the
that's
idea a big duh. Is big, first of all.
I Why mean, couldn't we come up
new.
With that, though, is what I'm saying.
But if you did, could you actually execute it? That's the other thing.
No.
Bean has 1,000 good ideas, and he doesn't do any of them.
But this one is so huge. I mean, it's almost hard to remember before Facebook.
It's true.
You know what
I know.
Mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, 500 million people on Facebook. I mean, and soon, beginning of next year, I think it'll have more than twice as many people as the United States on Facebook.
Why come up with that?
Well, because I guess we're just not smart, like the people in this movie. Anyway, Social Network opens up this Friday, October 1st. We couldn't be more excited to welcome actor Jesse Eisenberg to the show. Of course, you know him from Zombieland, Adventureland, and all those other movies with land in him. How are you, man? Thanks for joining us.
Oh, good. Thanks a lot. Glad to be here promoting the Social Network land.
Well, we're glad to hear about it. I remember when the first word came out that they were making a movie about Facebook, and I, like so many other people, thought, yeah, that's going to be good.
Right. Well, how much is there to that story?
Right. Who knew there was so much drama involved in the creation of Facebook? Were you as surprised as I was to find out that it's an unbelievably fascinating story of how this whole thing got started?
Yeah, I was so surprised. I had the exact same reaction that you did. And then when I heard that Aaron Sorkin, who's one of my favorite writers, you know, he did The West Wing, A Few Good Men, Sports Night, that he was writing the script, I was even more surprised. Why would he be interested in something about a website? And that David Fincher, this incredible director, is interested in it as well. It was really surprising. But when you read it, and I think when people see it, you realize that it's about so much more. You know, it really could be about the creation of anything. It's really the story of what it's like to create something and what the consequences of that are. And it just so happens that the thing that is created in the movie is, you know, the thing we all use every day. But, you know, it could really be about anything.
Yeah, the book that it's based on is called The Accidental Billionaires. I have not read it yet, but I have a feeling that I have a feeling I'm going to want to. And it's so funny because anytime an idea comes up that turns out to be great, there are lots of people who want to say I was there and I contributed to it. And I guess that's ultimately, in the simplest form, that's kind of what happened here, is everybody who was in that universe of people who were discussing those topics at that time ended up kind of wanting a piece of it, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, I play Mark Zuckerberg, the guy who created and is now, you know, the president or CEO of Facebook. And that's exactly his position as well. You know, there's a dispute at the center of the movie, you know, within the movie about kind of like who is responsible for the idea and how much does each person deserve. And from my character's point of view, you know, he thinks that the only reason kind of people are coming after him is because it is so successful, that had it not been successful, no one would want a piece of it, no one would claim credit for it, but only because it's now worth, you know, billions and billions of dollars are people coming out of the woodwork.
Do we know the actual answer to that question? I mean, do we know whose it is, or is it still up in the air where everybody's claiming responsibility for it?
I think that, you know, part of it's still in court, but the movie at the end kind of wraps it up a bit for the audience and you know, kind of fills in the blanks and lets you know how kind of the various cases resolved.
Did you decide to go the route where you met Mr. Zuckerberg and spend a lot of time with him to play him, or did you go the other way where you didn't want to be influenced by the real guy?
No, I very much wanted to meet him. You know, he's not involved in the movie, and it was kind of an impossibility. But I watched every video. I read every interview. I tried to do everything that he's done. You know, I kind of played his interviews on my iPod every morning going to work. You know, there's a lot to do.
But he didn't actively meet you or talk to you about it.
No, there's kind of a strange irony, though, because my first cousin, Eric, actually works at Facebook. He's a great programmer.
Really?
He got the job like 2 weeks before we finished shooting, so he couldn't help me meet him. But now works with Zuckerberg and really loves him.
How about that? By the way, this is the voice of Jesse Eisenberg on the show, on the Kevin and Bean program right now, talking about The Social Network, which is, by the way, while we're talking about movies and the great reviews they get, Rotten Tomatoes is the site that we talk about from time to time on this show that kind of rounds up all reviews from all over the country, from all over the reviewers. And a great movie like Inception, Kevin, got an 87. The Town got a 94.
Which is
Social
great.
Network right now is at 100.
Wow.
It's at 100 on the for The Social Network, which is unbelievable. I mean, that's like Toy Story 3 numbers. Those only come along like once or twice a year or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
And Jesse plays Woody.
He
plays
responsible for that.
He's a character Woody.
No. Great cast, by the way. Andrew Garfield is kind of your nemesis in the film, and he's the new Spider-Man. Same guy, right?
He's phenomenal in the movie. Yeah.
Justin Timberlake, of course, who's always entertaining. The beautiful Rashida Jones is there. Max Minghella, Rooney Mara, Brenda Song. I mean, it's a tremendous cast. And music by Trent Reznor, which I think is awesome, too. Did you have anything to do with that? Get a chance to meet him at all in the course of the movie being made?
I was a big fan of Trent Reznor. And the music he does in this movie is incredible. And it's very unique. It's not a traditional score. It's the kind of score that you don't know that you're even kind of listening to a melody until like halfway through the melody. It's very seamlessly tied into the movie.
He's put out soundtrack sounding music a couple of times, mm-hmm. but when he does this, it's just got to be weird to hear his influence on this type of story.
Well, it is, But that's kind of the really surprising part of the story is that, you know, you expect to see a movie about Facebook, and it's really this very dark, you know, kind of almost plays like an action movie. And so the tone of it is very unique. It's very, you know, it's very singularly David Fincher, who directed this movie's tone, and kind of the marriage between him and the very verbose and clever script by Aaron Sorkin is a really wonderful connection.
You really are kind of left out in the cold these days if you choose not to be part of the Facebook nation. I mean, you're in the minority now. If you're certainly if you're a younger person and you're not on Facebook, people look at you like you're you know, living in the jungle or something.
You do feel a little left out. I think, you know, a few years ago, people asked you, are you on Facebook? And if you said yes, they would kind of exchange names with you. And now the assumption is that you're on Facebook in the same way we all assume that, you know, everybody we're talking to has a telephone and you could just ask for a phone number.
Wait a minute. You're not on Facebook? What?
Right, exactly. You don't have a telephone. Why not? How do you communicate?
Has your Facebook page blown up since you got affiliated with this movie, Jesse?
A Facebook page.
All right.
I'm one of the few remaining ones without the phone.
How funny is that that you're playing this guy in this movie and you don't even have a page?
Research? It seems very strange, but also, like, you know, people write about me on the internet, and I'm not interested in writing anything more about myself on the internet.
Well, we couldn't be more psyched about this movie because of the great pedigree that you've already described with director, with writer, with actors, with music. It's just, it looks like an A-plus project. We can't wait for The Social Network. It opens up everywhere this Friday. Jesse, thanks a lot for coming on and talking to us on The Kevin Amin Show, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
In stores tomorrow, brand new album from Bad Religion, also available everywhere for download, called The Dissident of Man. We'll be talking to the band, and they'll be playing live for us the next half hour right here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is off this week filming a movie. We're filling in on the showbiz right now. Katy Perry is the best person in the world ever, right?
Yes.
I mean, if I had my way, we'd have her face on the $1 bills. That's how much I love Katy Perry.
Something else there.
Last week when you were out, there was a big controversy with her appearance on Sesame Street. They put a video up on YouTube of her talking to Elmo, and it was the tamest possible video. You can see it at KevinToMe.com. She was wearing something that was not revealing. I mean, you could see the top of her boobs, but you could walk out on any street in America and see people wearing more revealing clothing on the streets. Yet the internet parents went berserk over this outfit that she was wearing, saying, I don't want my kids to see that on Sesame Street. It's too sexy for Sesame Street.
She's too hot.
So PBS pulled the video, and it did not air.
Wow.
Now, that's old news. The reason I bring it up again today is Katy Perry was the musical guest on the season premiere, season 36, by the way, of Saturday Night Live over the weekend, up 15% from last year's season premiere, and I'm sure a lot of that had to do with Katy Perry being on. And she did a skit where she came out in an Elmo t-shirt that was cut off at the top and was super, super low cut with nothing but boob. All right. And she's playing the part of a girl who works at a library, and she's on a chat show called Bronx Beat with Amy Poehler and Maya Rudolph, who are playing these hosts that are talking to her. And all they can do is talk to her about her boobs because her boobs are everywhere. You go to KevinAmin.com if you want to see the video. But here's a little bit of the audio of Katy Perry talking about her boobs.
You have really developed over the summer.
Yeah, developed. Honey, you've exploded.
Kaboom. Those are some bazoons. Maureen, what the hell happened to your shirt?
Looks like today's show is brought to you by the number 38 and the letter double D.
So Katy didn't talk much, but she does sit there looking unbelievably hot in this ripped up Elmo t-shirt and a Catholic schoolgirl plaid skirt and glasses, and she's got little pigtails, and she's unbelievable. Okay.
I think it's good, right?
No,
I am too, yes. He agrees.
So go to KevinAmin.com and check out the video and do it now.
Let's talk about Lindsay Lohan. This is a strange story. I don't know if you followed it, but last Friday night, she got arrested and sentenced to nearly a month in jail.
We thought she was going to stay there.
For failing a drug test. And the judge said, you're going to stay there until October 22nd. And then her lawyer went around town and she said, no, she isn't. And then another judge said, no, she isn't. And an hour later, she was out on bail. So I don't know what the first judge was thinking when he said that, but sure didn't last long.
Sounds like he was just mad.
It was about a month that he was going to make her stay in jail. Yeah. And then the other judge said, you can't do that. And they're like, all right, bye.
Sorry, my bad.
I don't understand that.
I don't know how that judge would not understand that she could post bail.
We talked to Harvey earlier this morning. He said the judge is a well-known, well-respected judge. Mm-hmm. It was shocking to everybody. But he just said you're staying in jail.
It is Monday. That means tonight is another new episode of Dancing with the Stars. I can't find it in my heart to care most of the time anyway, but now that the Hoff is off, seriously. Oh, no Hoff's David off? Hasselhoff. He was the first one voted off.
Hoff.
The Hoff. Voted Hoff. Sorry, thank you. So who will win? Bodog Sportsbook has posted the latest odds on the contestants for Dancing with the Stars, and it's no surprise that Jennifer Grey is the favorite at 5-2 right now. She was the co-star of Dirty Dancing back in the day with Patrick Swayze and performed brilliantly in episode one last week. Brandy is number two with 11-4 as her odds. Rick Fox, former Laker, 4-1. Kurt Warner, 7-1. And Audrina Patridge from The Hills at 10-1. In case you're wondering about your boy, The Situation, by the way, he's at 18-1, which isn't great, but it's ahead of people like Michael Bolton, Bristol Palin, Margaret Cho on the outside at 50-1. She is the long shot.
Wouldn't it be awesome if you were on that show and The Situation was rated above you?
That'd be great.
Yeah. I'm a pseudo celebrity, and they're telling me that I'm going to lose to The Situation.
The box office over the weekend found Wall Street Money Never Sleeps at the top, starring Michael Douglas and Shia LaBeouf. That had a $19 million debut. Also debuting this weekend was the Owl movie, Legends of the Guardians. I have seen the ads for the Owl movie and still don't know what it's about.
It's about owls, and yes, right. They fly around and right. Protect things.
Do they kill people? Renegade
so.
Owls?
They don't seem like evil.
Well, what's the name of it? What's the name of the movie?
The Legend of the Guardians, the okay. Owls of Gahule.
Well, I think they're guardians.
Is this animated?
I'm guessing they're guardians.
What is yes, this? It's animated. Oh. It's animated. Yeah.
And they fly around and they guard things.
It was number two. Number three was Ben Affleck, directed and starring in The Town at $16 million. Then Easy A, You Again, debuted at number five with just $8.3 million. Oh. They did a lot of promotion for that movie, too, but nobody was buying. Could be the end of the road for the America's Love Affair with Betty White, by the way, when You Again only comes in at number five. Yeah. Devil was number six. Resident Evil, Afterlife, Alpha and Omega, Takers, and Inception rounds out your top ten, pulling in over $1 million again this weekend.
Time for the celebrity birthdays. Mr. Bean?
You don't have him again.
My paperwork.
Well, Lil Wayne, behind bars, and 28 today. Avril Lavigne, not behind bars. I would make that trade, though. I'd send Avril in to serve out the rest of Lil Wayne's time, even though she hadn't done anything. She is 26. The great Meatloaf turned 63 years old today. Stephen Jenkins, lead singer of a band called Third Eye Blind, turns 46 today. And Oscar-winning actress Gwyneth Paltrow is 38. Bad Religion is next, right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. That is the Showbiz Beat. Minutes away from Bad Religion joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We hope. They've been together for 30 years. Their 15th album comes out tomorrow, and they are going to be performing live for us coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Carson Daly, our friend Carson Daly, tweeted yesterday, and you could see the tears on the keyboard as he was tweeting, about how tough it is to be a Raiders fan. Because he is a born Raiders fan. And Kevin, you were watching that game. I only saw the highlights. You were watching that game because they were playing your Arizona Cardinals. And both teams were going out of their way to lose, right? I mean, that was the goal.
It was mistake after penalty, after interception, after fumble. I mean, they were in a race to lose. And Arizona just barely edged him out, but only because the Raiders kicker, who's a given, he's gold, missed three field goals. I mean, it was really just a horrible game for both sides.
You could miss three field goals, right?
I could do that.
Yeah.
I mean, and some of them were pretty decent. I mean, they weren't that bad. They were pretty close, and he still missed them. He missed three field goals.
And the Raiders were lucky enough to be in a position to win that game as the clock ran out. All they needed to do was hit a simple field goal, and they missed it, and Arizona ended up winning.
They ran the clock down to 4 seconds so that Arizona wouldn't have a chance to come back and score again, and then they missed the field goal and the clock ran out. It was crazy.
And Dave, you had the most exciting game of the whole day with it, Atlanta yesterday. What was that all about?
Yeah, dude, taking out the Saints in their home. So
in overtime, unbelievable.
In overtime, I mean, Saints actually came back and tied it up. And man,
so, listen to this, Bean. Here's our conversation at the beginning of the year. Our conversation is: you want to be in a football pool, and I say sure. Mm-hmm. And Dave says, but you're not going to remember to pick. And I said, yes, I will. Here, what is it? You know, whatever credits, whatever. So we start the pool. And last week I was on vacation. So I don't really check my email when I'm on vacation, ever.
You don't check your email when you're working.
I don't, that's true. But especially when I'm on vacation, I just check out. So I got like three emails from Dave. on like Sunday, like last night, saying, oh, you need to pick or you're going to lose all your games. And then I'm going to pick for you. And then if you want to change your picks, then you eat. And I was not responding to any of these.
Right.
So Dave steps up and makes my picks for me in the
pool.
That's
a good friend, by the way. Right. Try to save you the possibility of losing everything.
Correct. So here's what happens. He picks Kansas City because he knows there's no way they're going to beat San Francisco.
And of course they do.
And they do. And then he picks St. Louis because there's no way they're going to beat Washington. And they do. And then he picks Seattle because there's no way they're going to beat San Diego. And they do.
And they do. An unbelievable game, too.
I went 13-2 on the weekend.
Oh!
And Dave went 10-5.
Yes!
So he made my picks for me and beat himself by trying to screw me up.
Yep.
That's what you were doing, Dave, is you were trying to pick as badly as you could for Kevin?
I mean, look at the Kansas City game. You're like, all right, San Francisco played a great game on Monday night. They have momentum. They're going to go. No way can KC go 3-0 for the start of the year. Boom.
He makes that pick for me. He was doing it on purpose. Like, he was putting in my picks, which was nice, but he was making sure I didn't beat him.
Yeah, because he could have done his own if he was really trying to help him.
Right.
You know, and then look at the Ram game. Rams lost to the Raiders.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, they're not going to beat Donovan McNabb. Boom! Destroy them!
13-2 is unbelievable, Kevin.
So did I was really proud of myself.
By the way, you absolutely made the right pick, picking the Chargers over the Seahawks. Freaking Rivers had 455 yards against Seattle, and they still lost that game at the last second.
And they had two game-winning attempts at from the 20-yard line.
Well, I'd just like to thank you, Dave, for making my picks and for helping me kick your ass. And I wasn't paying the least bit of attention, and now I'm ahead in the pool. I'm ahead of Dave.
But you have to have Dave pick for you every week now, right?
No, yeah, absolutely. He has to try and screw it up for me, and then everything will be just fine. You do good work, Dave. Thank you.
Would you guys agree that the problem with the Epicenter concert yesterday in Fontucky is that it was cold? That was the problem. It was just too chilly to be up on stage, try to perform, right?
Unbelievable.
Oh, what happened? Is that
my mom? Some microphones here. What's going on?
Hi, how you doing?
There you go. Sorry, I had that.
There we go.
That was me.
Yeah, it was 110 on stage, and the sun was beating down. We played at about 5 o'clock. So it was.
It was 110 not on the stage. It was probably 130 on the stage.
Yeah, it was terrible.
So if they said, "Is there a way to f you up more?"
Yeah, that was. I looked at that as a test. You know, you guys have been around for 30 years now, and we're going to see just how quickly we can kill you.
Let's see if we can kill you at 5 p.m.
But we did quite well, I think.
It's just got to be so unbelievably hot.
I can't imagine.
I can't imagine people slam dancing in 110 degrees.
It's pretty insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I felt bad for the audience as well.
This is going to be a compliment, guys. And I know, what? Why is it weird?
Everybody else is here.
Members
now.
Joining us now.
People are strolling in.
Yeah. There's 20 of us.
I know that much has been made of you recently celebrating your 30th anniversary as a band, but what I like about Bad Religion is that if you guys came out today, people would think you were awesome. It's not all resting on your laurels. I mean, there are a lot of bands out there who are together for a long time and they kind of suck for the last half of their career and only play songs from the first five albums kind of deal. But you guys, I mean, some of the biggest and most successful records you've ever had have been the ones that have come out in the last 10 years, and that has to be immensely gratifying.
Yeah, I mean, it feels... The thing I have always said is that if you look at a lot of bands that have been around for 30 years, they're kind of what we call heritage acts.
Right.
And we never wanted to become one of those.
Yeah.
So we've put out a new record every couple of years, even here in our later career. We're trying to put out a record every couple of years, and we still amazingly find ways to grow as songwriters.
You never put out a best greatest hits?
Yeah.
Or did you?
We put out sort of an anthology in the mid-90s of our earlier years called All Ages.
You're about due. You're about due for another one, then.
Yeah, but at our age, if you put out one of those, it's sort of a sign of something, and that's why I think we don't want
goodbye, everybody.
It's for all the fish.
Yeah. So, what about when you go out on the Warped Tour or something like that? You literally have bands that are playing on the stage, you know, before and after you that were born after your band started. Are you?
Those are our children.
Are they all lined up outside the trailer to get advice and to hear stories about the old days?
Well, no, we do. We do like the status of being their, kind of creative grandparents. Mm-hmm. But the truth is that every Bad Religion concert, I ask the audience, how many of you is this your first experience with Bad Religion? And it's usually between 40% and 50% new people.
Wow!
Doesn't that blow you away?
Yeah. I mean,
how long do you have to do it? that's impressive.
Let's start lowering the percentage.
No, you know what I mean? Like, it's, people just have to have been living in this city through many, many, many tours, but still they're all new people coming to the shows. That's amazing.
And to me, that's a sign of vitality of the scene, if you will. I mean, that's what I've always said. This 30-year anniversary is more about, I'm amazed that punk rock is now such a institution in the world, mm-hmm. and we can go anywhere, any major city in the world, and there's a community waiting for us, and that's probably the greatest privilege.
Descent of Man is the new album that is available everywhere for download and for sale tomorrow, your 15th album, and I have heard that in some ways it's some of the most exciting and challenging music you guys have ever done. Tell me why.
Oh, that's for me to answer?
Take it. I've been answering a lot of those questions.
You know, we just try to push the envelope with every record and try to not make the same record. And I think Greg and I had a very, very busy year and challenging year. Greg just came out with a new book, which he worked on all through last year. And I had a new baby. And so the two of us had, a lot of sort of change and challenge. And so I think it influenced our songwriting.
But babies are so much more fun to create than books, though, right?
Yeah, and so much more work after they've been created.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Greg's done with this book.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although you're going to be doing a signing in Southern California
tomorrow.
I'll be
at Book Soup next week, on Saturday. Oh, wait, it is next week. This Saturday. I'll be at Book Soup in Hollywood. Can't wait to see everybody.
Tell us the title.
Anarchy Evolution, Faith Science, and Bad Religion in a World Without God.
That sounds boring.
It sounds boring. It's sort of a long title, I got to be honest. That's like, if I were writing a book, that would be chapter one.
Thank you for the plug.
Is it boring?
The truth is that most of what you just said was the subtitle. It's really just called Anarchy Evolution.
Okay. So, and what's the basic theme of it then? What's it kind of
all
about?
Well, the two words, anarchy and evolution, kind of define the two streams of my life in the last 30 years. I've spent all that time studying evolution at an academic institution, and I've also spent that time in the punk rock scene, and that's kind of what the anarchy describes. But the point is that I have this unique oddball worldview that was based part on science and part on life in the world of music. And this book is my hopefully unified vision.
Yeah, it's a pretty rare point of view that you have.
Well, I thank you. And hopefully you'll think so after you read the book.
We've had so many conversations with you about what it must be like to be sitting in one of your classes and go, hey,
yeah,
that's the dude. Is that he looks like that guy from that band?
The thing is, most people don't. I've always said that it's amazing how few conversations we have about music when the students are so worried about getting into medical school.
Right?
And those are the students who I've taught mostly.
Interesting. Yeah. Anarchy Evolution is going to be in bookstores everywhere tomorrow, and the signing is going to be at Book Soup Los Angeles down there on Sunset Boulevard this Saturday night at 7. The new Bad Religion album is called The Dissident of Man, and that opens up everywhere tomorrow, too. Why The Dissident of Man, by the way? What's that title mean? You guys are way too smart for me. Yeah. I need translations on everything you guys do. Dumb it down for Kevin and Bean.
We need Bad Religion for dummies.
All right. It's really, it's kind of a play on words. Charles Darwin. Who, now, you can't say that's too erudite.
No, because,
not at all. No.
Because
all
right. I was listening earlier, and you know that bit you did on Tommy Lee?
Yes.
Okay.
He had a Charles Darwin shout-out.
He had
sure.
a Charles Darwin shout-out.
Yeah, so, but he didn't understand what he was saying in his defense.
So it somehow has crept into his consciousness.
So here comes another one.
But Charles Darwin had written a book called The Descent of Man, but he mm-hmm. spelled it different. Our descent of man is a dissenting opinion,
gotcha.
Which is classic songwriting style that we've done for 30 years now.
Too and smart for their own good. Seriously.
You know, I'm going to go back mind. Later, and I'll look at it, and we'll see if I can understand.
All right.
All right. Well,
to get into medical school, and I don't have any idea what you're talking about. Exactly.
As the members of the band have gradually made their way to the radio station, do we have enough that we can field a team? Could we go into the other room and actually try to bang out a couple of songs? What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think
oh, you know,
they're in.
If you do you have any drums
yes.
here? Do you have any guitars
have
and things?
And
we have a few
oh,
in the other room.
Yeah. Let's. Yeah. We'll see what we can make
all right,
do.
Let's lace them up.
All right,
do it. Live Bad Religion.
Bad Religion on 106.7 K-Rock, KROQ. Whatever happened to those guys, man? They were good.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed them. It is 8:38. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Oh, that's the band that's here in our studio right now on The Kevin and Bean Show. Ladies and gentlemen, Bad Religion, new album called The Descent of Man, is available everywhere tomorrow. Guys are all set up, going to be playing live. Kevin, are you sitting in? You cowbelling? What are you doing here?
I don't think I'm going to be playing the cowbell, but I have it in case they need it.
Okay, good. All right, what are we going to hear first here, guys?
You guys ready?
Yeah, we're going to do, which one are we doing first?
Devil?
Devil and Stitches?
Yeah.
Devil and Stitches. Live music, Bad Religion. With their new song.
Devil and Stitches.
Look, I can do this. I'm a professional.
All right, maybe I can.
Okay. Yep.
And now.
All dangerous girls. She had a bulletproof mind with big punk sharp eyes, and nothing you could say would get to her. So now, suck on an angel from hell, and we'll see. I can start twice and they all go away. We'll tap every last drop until the music starts, and let the devil come join us dancing across that ghetto side. Restless goals. It's so easy to love a breaker of destruction. She said, darling, I love you, baby. That deep, deep, deep guy who shattered the girl, playing buzz on to save her life. She had a paper bag, cried, run its way down his spine. So let the devil come join us dancing across that yellow sun. We'll be right back.
Devil in Stitches, live on the Kevin and Bean Show. Descent of Man is a new one from Bad Religion. And don't miss the new book, Anarchy Evolution, from Dr. Greg Graffin from Bad Religion. Both available tomorrow. We got time if the boys can play another one, if we got time.
You guys want to play another song?
We can play another one.
All right.
We know other songs.
You know other songs?
They have 280 songs, I'm told, yeah. By the way, Kevin.
More or less.
We know a couple.
Zorro? You know a couple. Let's play Zorro.
Let's play Zorro. I like Zorro.
We're talking off the air. We have a mutual friend that thought the song was Zorro. There will be Zorro, so.
English is not his first language.
Let's hear Zorro.
It's the Mexican version of Zorro. I like it on the Kevin Abicho.
The legend of Zorro is almost gone. There will be Zorro.
I'm glad you're bringing it back.
Should we play it now?
Yeah, let's play it now.
Let's play that now.
Hey, guys.
Hold on.
Hey, how about playing?
We're working.
Yeah.
Ready to play Zorro?
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I like
it. Let's do Zorro.
Let's play Zorro.
All right.
Zorro.
I've lost control. Just what that song needed.
That's exactly right. Kevin, did you at least get to sing along with the sorrow part? Were you at least one of those guys?
I'm deaf from the drums. I can't hear you.
Yeah, that's a lot of rock music in a tiny little room. That's Bad Religion playing live on the Kevin and Bean Show. You're lame if you don't get their new record tomorrow called The Descent of Man, featuring The Devil in Stitches and lots of other very, very good songs. And the book is called Anarchy Evolution from Dr. Greg and Steve Olson, and that is available in bookstores and everywhere tomorrow. Guys, always great to catch up with you on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks so much for coming in. We enjoyed it.
I think that's pretty much over. It's 106.7 K-Rock KROQ at 8:55.
Actor Adrien Grenier. I know I'm not saying that right, but that's as close as I could get. Is Vince, of course, on Entourage, and he's got a new movie out that we'll be talking about that is of a fascinating topic. It's all about the paparazzi. So that's coming up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, time for the showbiz beat. Ralph is off filming a movie. Kevin and Bean filling in. And we want to start with a free giveaway for you, a pair of passes to the advanced screening of Wes Craven's new suspense thriller called My Soul to Take. It's in theaters on Friday, October 8th. You get to see it ahead of that. Have you seen the trailer for this one yet, Kevin?
I have, and if you've ever said that prayer before you go to bed, don't anymore.
Yeah, because it now is creepy. Now all of a sudden it's not soothing at all.
If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. That's, it goes bad.
This is a serial killer who returns to his hometown to murder the seven children that were born the night he died. So now he's back from the grave and he's going out and trying to kill all those kids that were born that day. So it's very, very creepy. It looks great. And Wes Craven's always great. Anyway, we got five pairs of passes for you right now. 1-800-520-1067. We'll start with caller 20 if you want to see a free movie on us at the Kevin and Bean Show.
We were talking earlier today about Lindsay Lohan and how the obsession with her is just so far over the top. We were trying to figure out, do you feel sorry for her? Are you tired of the story? And it seems like everybody kind of comes, you know, all of those are represented. But Friday night, she failed a drug test. She admitted it. She went to court, and a judge said, we're going to keep you in jail for a month until your trial.
A month?
And then her lawyer said, no, you're not. And then another judge said, no, you're not. So then she was gone an hour later. That's an odd story. I don't understand how that happens. The judge, according to Harvey Levin earlier this morning, knows what he's talking about. He's a good, you know, respectable judge. And it was a shock that that he tried to put her in jail for that entire time. But
I want to know what happens to her when she goes back to court on October 22nd. That's what I want to know. Does she get sentenced back to jail? I guess she will have done rehab again by then. That's the plan anyway, is to get back into rehab. So,
back to jail.
Is that what you're hoping? That's
back
what you're hoping, jail. A lot of love in the air in this showbiz beat. Our friend Johnny Knoxville, who can soon be seen in the new Jackass 3D movie, got married again over the weekend. Look, I like Johnny a lot. He seems like a nice guy, good-looking guy, fun guy, rich guy. Don't think I'd want to be married to him.
I don't either.
Because I have a feeling that Knoxville is the kind of guy, you marry him, you marry the Jackass guys too, right?
Yes, all of them. That's your family.
And you come down in the morning and, you know, Steve-O's, you know, having sex with the cat. I mean, I don't even know. I can't even imagine. But anyway, he married Naomi Nelson over the weekend, gave her a 2.5-carat diamond engagement ring, by the way, before they got married. They have a 9-month-old son together named Rocco. He has a previous relationship that spawned a teenage daughter named Madison. How cool must it be for Madison to have your dad be Johnny Knoxville, by the way?
I guess, but then again, see the extended family. I mean,
trouble.
When you have Knoxville, you have them all.
So unless you're Wee Man sleeping in your clothes hamper, don't get too close to Johnny. But congratulations to him. Of course, we'll have the Jackass guys on next month ahead of Jackass 3D coming out. Also, walking down the aisle this weekend, the beautiful Emily Deschanel. She, of course, is the co-star of the show Bones on Fox. She married a writer for It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia named David Hornsby. They got married on Saturday, Pacific Palisades in Los Angeles. She's a beautiful, beautiful woman. And Crystal Bowersox. You'll know the name if you watched the last season of American Idol. She was the runner-up who had the rat's nest on her head for a hairstyle and the honked-up little teeth. She's cleaned up quite a bit now, and she has become engaged to a musician named Brian Walker. They plan to be married as soon as next month. So there you go. So it's not all bad news in the showbiz report today. There's actually some good stuff happening.
What are the chances that Lady Gaga's meat outfit from the MTV Video Music Awards was actually meat? I thought it was supposed to look like meat.
It is apparently real meat.
Apparently it's meat, and it's slowly turning into beef jerky. According to the designer Frank Ferdinands, he revealed to Absolute.now that the, quote, dress, which was simply cuts of meat placed over her body, is being archived and won't be worn again.
I like meat.
I'm not sure what archived means, but I think it just means it was actual. She was wearing meat.
It'll end up in a museum somewhere, I guess. I mean, look, here's the thing.
She was sitting on meat. She had meat on her head. That's
yeah,
what I know.
She did. You know, Lady Gaga is the number one Halloween costume this year, but it's a whole bunch of different costumes because she has already, in the course of just a couple of years, she has had so many iconic images. And the meat dress, I guarantee you'll see it somewhere on October the 31st. Somebody will do that.
But make it actual meat, people.
Make it actual meat. Right, exactly.
Don't skimp.
Green Day is back in the news, by the way. Actor Tony Vincent has asked for some time off for a family matter. He is one of the stars in that American Idiot Broadway show.
Oh.
So guess who's going to be filling in for him, playing that part on stage for 8 performances as St. Jimmy?
Whoopi Goldberg.
Is it Whoopi Goldberg?
Great guess, Psycho Mike. No, Billy Joe Armstrong himself is going to be performing in the Broadway show.
Well, that seems better.
Seems like he would know something about that, right?
Wow, that's weird.
So he is going to be on stage in the character based on the, you know, the songs that he wrote on Broadway. And then Green Day is going to be kicking off a tour of South America next month. But I thought that was pretty cool.
You know what's going to be weird is the crowd's going to be going, we like the other guy.
Hey, you're a hack. What do you know about Green Day? And finally for me, Jermaine Jackson is in the news. You know, I've often wondered how these ancillary Jackson brothers and sisters make a living, because I kind of got the impression that Michael, who's always been pretty generous and close with his family, I kind of got the impression that he was, you know, breaking off a little every month for him.
Even if he didn't know it, somebody was breaking it off.
Yeah, exactly. Well, now Michael's gone, of course, and Jermaine Jackson, according to TMZ, is so broke that he cannot afford his child support payments. Apparently, he petitioned the court last week saying, look, I know you've asked for $3,000 a month for Jafar and Your Majesty, but I can't afford it. He has asked that the court cut down the payments to $215 a month. I mean, really? Jermaine Jackson? I mean, look, this guy, I mean, he sold millions of records as part of the Jacksons and had a pretty successful solo career, but I guess all that's gone and there's not a lot of money still coming in for him.
Wow, that's rough.
He's asking the payments only be $215 a month. He says that his ex-wife Alejandra earns more money than he does and that she lives rent-free at his mom's house because, you know, Catherine's close with all the grandkids. The couple got married in 95, divorced in 2004. But apparently bad, bad times for Jermaine Jackson. Nobody was sadder about Michael dying than the other members of that Jackson family. And not because they loved him, let's face it.
Celebrity birthdays. Avril Lavigne is 26 years old today. Stephen Jenkins of Third Eye Blind is 46. Wilford Brimley, who seems like he was dead when I was born, claims he's just 76. That's not possible.
He looks bad for 76.
But
I'm sorry.
Hasn't he looked that way our whole lives? That old dude with the mustache?
Yeah. I can't believe he's not 90. I can't believe that dude is only 76.
Soul Train mogul Don Cornelius is 74.
Yeah!
Say that for Bean, as he bought the entire Soul Train DVD catalog.
I did. It's only 9 CDs, but I'm enjoying it very much.
And Meatloaf.
Woo!
Yeah! Turned 63, so that is your celebrity birthdays, and that is your Showbiz Beat.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Man, it was great to have Bad Religion in here playing live. Are they the best?
They really are the best, yes.
Love those guys so much. Sharktopus was on the Sci-Fi Channel over the weekend with our own Ralph Garman. We've got a recap of that coming up for you here in just a few minutes on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, we turn our attention to something that's on the TV tonight on HBO at 9. It is called Teenage Paparazzo. It is a documentary of a fascinating topic, and it is made by a man you know. He's Vincent Chase, of course, on Entourage. Adrien Grenier joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Adrien. How are you, man?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Thank you.
Great to talk to you. Fascinating topic, this paparazzi. I wondered how many different angles of this story you were going to be able to cover, and I think you hit them all. You found out what it's like to be the guy taking the picture, to be the people having the picture taken of, the people who buy the picture, sell the pictures, like the pictures, hate the pictures. Crazy idea for a documentary. How did it all get started?
Yeah, well, it's a hall of mirrors, and I was looking to share a little bit of that experience in my position, being a celebrity by playing a celebrity on a show about celebrity and
right.
reflecting on celebrity. I mean, it's just been quite a bizarre experience.
What's the difference between what we see in general and what actually happens in general?
Well, you know, I mean, it's all story. At the end of the day, it's all... reflections of ideas. And, you know, when I saw this young boy, he was 13 years old, baby-faced, innocent, cute, thought he was just a fan until I saw him running around with these guys twice the size of twice his size. You know, I realized that, you know, this is a story that I had to explore.
So you're saying the 13-year-old, basically they were using him to get to you to take pictures because he looked like he couldn't be part of the paparazzi, but he was.
He was innocent, unassuming kid with more sinister motives.
By the way, Kevin, the other paparazzi weren't using him. Oh. This is what the kid decided to do. I mean, this was his way to make a living. He was really, really into this. And I was surprised at how much money so many of those shots make, Adrian, because when I see 30 people standing around, a guy like you taking the picture, I think, how can it be worth anything? But these guys regularly get $500,000 for a shot, right?
Well,
sometimes way more.
When I was 13, I went to the corner store and I bought some Kool-Aid,
right?
Mixed it up with some sugar, and I sold it for 25 cents a pop.
Yeah. Well, you weren't doing like this
kind of Kool-Aid right now. So.
But I guess Bean's question, you know, if there are 30 people getting the same shot, how does one stand out from the others? They don't all get a half a million, right?
No, it's true. You have to have an edge, and Austin's assets are that he's small and agile and cute. So the other celebs are often, you know, they have their guard down, and he's there to take the picture.
One of the fascinating things about Adrian's documentary, again, which is called Teenage Paparazzo, it airs tonight on HBO, is all the people that are interviewed in the movie talking about what it's like to be, call it a victim, if you will. It's a side effect of being a famous person. But everybody from Matt Damon to Eva Longoria to Alec Baldwin, Whoopi Goldberg, and a guy like Lewis Black comes out and he says, look, it's something that you sign up for that you know is going to happen if you become a celebrity, so quit bitching about it. But there are a lot of celebrities who just hate it, who just can't stand seeing a camera when they walk outside their house. Where do you fall down on that? On that line?
Well, everybody who finds themselves in this position of being famous has to deal with it. And they all do it in their own way. Some people throw punches. Some people, play with it. Some people indulge it. My personal style is to make a documentary and actually try and find some real truth behind it.
One of the funny parts of the movie, Kevin, is that Adrian decides to see how easy it is to start the biggest story in the world based on nothing, because that's all they do is they take these pictures and they write made-up stories about it. So Adrian goes to Paris Hilton's house, and they go out for a drive, and I think maybe ultimately you ended up going to dinner or something like that. How crazy were the stories that people created around a photo of you two together?
I mean, it just kept going and going and going, and we didn't do anything but literally walk in the same space together. And so it was just, you know, very telling that you literally just throw a caption on an image and there's your story. Tabloid is a lot based on speculation at best.
Yeah.
It's not just completely fabricated stories.
We do notice and have commented before that if you are caught in a picture with somebody, you are automatically in a relationship with them. That's just the way it works.
It is.
Adrian, let me ask you this. There have been people in the last couple of years who have spoken up and said, I know it's the First Amendment right to stand on a public street and take a picture of somebody, but something's got to be done because a celebrity is going to get killed or somebody, an innocent bystander is going to get killed, you know, because of the frenzy of paparazzi around some of these people. They can't get in their car. They can't see. They can't drive. What do you think about that? Do you think the laws are sufficient to protect celebrities from paparazzi now, or do you think something should be discussed?
The problem is there's not enough will to actually go after these guys because they really only affect a very small number of people, the celebrities.
Right.
So there's not a big public outcry. You know, it'd be nice to see. I mean, there are laws that govern fat. You know, you're not allowed to speed, and you know, you're not allowed to have high speed car chases. That there are laws that govern that.
Right.
It's just there needs to be somebody actually enforcing those laws.
And a lot of times they're not, so the paparazzi get away with it.
Do you get the feeling that people don't want to hear from celebrities? Like, you're famous, you make a lot of money, so just get over it. Do you get that kind of, that backlash kind of?
Yeah, well, you know what? I don't disagree. I mean, you know, we're perceived at least to have, you know, all of the, you know, the luxuries of life. But the reality is, it's not about the paparazzi. It's about the sort of the values that we see reflected in tabloids. You know, is this something that we want to share with our kids? Do we want to teach our kids to go out there and be disrespectful to another human being? I mean, I don't care if you're a celebrity and how famous or how well off you are, you're still a human being. And it's, at the end of the day, it's not about the celebrity. It's about how we treat human beings.
Right.
We're almost out of time with Adrian Grenet, who, by the way, his day job involves being in a hot tub with Sasha Gray. That's what this boy does for a living. Let's never forget that for a minute, by the way. One of the
Talk
things
about
that
you, treating human beings well.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, nice plot line on Entourage with that, by the way.
thank you.
One of the this will have to be our last comment because we're almost out of time here, Adrian, but one of the things that I was so glad you got into was how being famous is the number one occupation choice of young people today. You had a guy on who wrote a book about it, Jake Halpern, who wrote that book about fame. And he said they go into schools and they say, all right, here's a list of what you can be. You want to be the president of Harvard, or do you want to be this attorney, or do you want to be this guy over here, that guy over there? And being famous is almost always the number one thing that people choose. And it's not even, I want to be famous because I'm a great athlete, or because I'm a great actor, or because there's no because. Yeah. It's just people want to be famous. And this tabloid culture and this paparazzi craze certainly feeds into that and contributes to that. Don't you think, Adrian?
Well, I mean, and I can't deny that, you know, I'm on a show that promotes it as well. You know, I mean, my character represents, you know, the high life, the lifestyle. So, you know, I think at the end of the day, it's about personal responsibility. I need to recognize how I contribute. Hopefully paparazzi will do the same. And also, you know, when you pick up the magazine, you need to look at it for what it is. You know, and it can be fun. It can be, it's entertainment. I read them sometimes and have a blast. But, you know, it's just important to recognize what it is and balance that diet. That's all.
Yeah, it's certainly worth checking out because it will ask and answer and give you further thought on some of these issues that we talked about. It's called Teenage Paparazzo. It's a movie that is, I guess you're director and producer on this. Is that right, Adrian?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that is tonight at 9 o'clock on HBO, again, called Teenage Paparazzo. Glad you were able to join us, man. Good luck with the project. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 9:45. What? This showbiz? What?
I know. And Psycho Mike, I know you're standing by with some very happy, yeah, peppy up? Showbiz news filling in for Ralph Garman today, but I got late-breaking showbiz news. Do you remember the actress who played the elder Rose, Kate Winslet's character, in the movie Titanic? She was Gloria Stewart was her name. She was nominated for an Academy Award at the time for playing that movie. She was the old lady with the jewels and everything like that, the super old lady in Titanic.
Nope.
She's a major star of the movie. Big, huge character in the movie at the beginning and at the end.
Nope.
Okay, well, then you won't care that she just died at 100.
Wait, but if she was really old in Titanic, which came out in, like, the late 90s.
Right, that's why it's amazing that she's still alive today. She was 100 years old. She was nominated for an Oscar when she was 87.
Nope.
She died.
Nope.
Gloria Stewart, dead.
Nope.
Okay, all right, back DeJuan to you, Psycho Mike, with the show. But I guess DeJuan says no.
DeJuan says no, a good band. I saw him at the Troubadour last night.
I thought you might be interested. She got a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame in 2000?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
All right,
nope.
Never mind then.
Nope.
All right.
You guys were talking to Adrien Grenier just a little bit ago.
Nope.
He has that
yes, we were.
Tonight. Yes. He's also star of Entourage. You were talking about how people just want to be famous nowadays. The youngsters just want to be famous regardless if they have a skill. And John Hamm agrees. He calls the stars of reality shows shameless. He says, quote, in Details Magazine, it doesn't take much for them to be put on TV.
It does. It takes a tremendous amount of douchebaggery.
Yeah.
And it really does.
I was with Mr. Hamm until he started to go on his diatribe about adult film stars.
Oh, hey now.
Yeah.
Back off.
If you just want to be famous, that's not that much different than being a porn star. I mean, I'm a movie star? No. No, you're not. You're a porn star. And that's completely different.
Hey, let's not be hating on women who choose to make porn, all right, here, John Hamm?
There's room for everyone.
Not everyone can be on 30 Rock and Mad Men, okay? How about something for the rest of us?
Don Draper went on to say, you're selling your dignity in a way that I feel I'm not.
Nope.
And once you sell it, it's gone.
Yeah,
you ain't getting it back.
Don Draper can say that, but he also stole a man's identity in Korea, all right? So he's got a lot of nerves sitting up there on his high horse telling us how to live.
That was just television.
I'm just saying.
But I am getting a little bit fed up with Mr. Hamm, who I respect very much for his work on Mad Men, maybe the best show on TV.
But he should shut the F up.
Not only is he now indicting the porn stars, but last week he's on NPR talking about how it was very hard for him growing up to get the ladies. He was very awkward.
F you.
F you.
He's an unbelievably good-looking man, right?
And there's just no possibility a guy like that ever went through an awkward phase.
Yeah, I don't buy it.
John Hamm was like the impossibly good-looking 14-year-old the 4-year-old, the 7-year-old. And it's insulting to guys who are really geeky and awkward to go around saying that you had a hard time getting the ladies. Another John in the news, our friend Johnny Knoxville, who started the press campaign for Jackass 3D yesterday with his handsome cohort Jeff Tremaine. They were off in Miami getting everything started for that movie, which hits theaters October 15th. He also got married on Friday, made a honest woman about his longtime girlfriend and baby mama, Naomi Nelson. They have
Did he catapult into the church?
You wanted
or were they hanging upside down in a porta potty while they took their vows?
I don't have any details here about the wedding, but you wonder what Johnny Knoxville does at his.
Oh my God! You do not want to marry into that group. I can't wait for Jackass 3D. I do not want to be a part of that family.
You know what I mean? One of two things is there. It's either an incredible burden or it's just the most awesome thing in the world.
Or both.
Did Bam Margera have a comment about the wedding? Was he there?
Let me grab him for you. There was a lot of cheers at the wedding.
Thank you, Bam.
Nope.
It was only a matter of time, but reports are now that the Mike, the Situation Sorrentino is banging Karina Smirnoff, his dancing partner, on Dancing with the Stars.
Don't those rumors go every single season of Dancing with the Stars? Don't they say the coaches are hooking up with them?
That show is like a factory for on-set romance.
There is, okay.
But the Situation was seen partying with Miss Smirnoff, and it says here, in quote, that they were drinking adult beverages.
Wow, why so big?
At the Westbury in New York.
We can't figure out what that means.
I just don't – the Situation doesn't strike me as the type of guy who hangs out with a woman for conversation.
That's true. That's a good point. Did Bam Margera have a comment about the Situation dating?
Nope.
Situation's dating Karina Smirnoff.
Right.
Okay, we knew that. We actually already said that.
Thank you.
What's Bam's comment, though? That's what I was
– What a situation.
Why would there be a chair in the hallway?
Okay, there you go. That's what I was looking for.
Maybe my favorite moment was Jackass 2.
That is a good point, though.
That's so good.
Wait, man. Why would there be a chair in the hallway for you to stand on to read a letter? In a hallway at a hotel, why is there a random chair?
And the high five in this next one looks so good.
Of course, the biggest story on the planet, at least in the showbiz world, is that Lindsay Lohan was hauled off to jail and then free again just hours later. Judge Eldon Fox sentenced her to nearly a month in jail, and then another judge overruled it, allowing her to post bail, because that's the way it goes here in California when it comes to misdemeanors. So
the judge said you can't post bail.
No.
And then the other judge said,
yes, you can.
Yeah, you really can.
Yes, you can. This is California. That's the way it goes.
That's weird.
That's why we have an appeal system in this country, though. That's exactly why. So you get a second opportunity to get it right.
Huh.
There is conflicting stories about how Miss Lohan is being treated, though. The New York Post says that she's been given star treatment and treated and has been acting like a diva. New York Daily News says quite the opposite, that her stardom was one of the reasons why she was originally treated so poorly by the first judge. And Steve Whitmore told People, he's a Los Angeles sheriff spokesman, he says that the starlet has been nothing but cooperative and always has been whenever they've dealt with her.
Huh. Depends on who you talk to for... Yeah. Any angle on that story?
She certainly is a lightning rod. We took a lot of calls about Miss Lohan earlier in the show. Celebrity birthdays. Avril Lavigne is 26. Belle or no Belle?
I say no. I think she's sort of sexy sometimes, but I don't think she's hot.
She's dudish.
Yeah, the thing about Avril Lavigne is the girl who's that wild and gets drunk and spits at you and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Got to be dead fish in bed.
That's what I think.
You know what I'm saying? She's
crazy.
Trying too hard.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. A lot of you kids out there may not know who Meatloaf is. He was a very...
Ladies and gentlemen, Meatloaf!
More importantly, though, than being a successful star, mostly in the 70s, Meatloaf and I wrote the hit smash song and then performed Go Get the Lotion on Loveline.
Really?
Yeah.
You did a song with the Loaf? I didn't know that.
Go Get the Lotion, huge hit. We wrote it together and then performed it.
I don't think we can probably play that.
Well, I think you could.
I don't think.
I like meat.
The Loaf, by the way, was also in Fight Club. He was the guy with the boobs in Fight Club, if you remember.
His name is Robert Paulson. Stephen Jenkins of Third Eye Blind, 46 years old today. Fuggy Gwyneth Paltrow is 38.
How dare you?
A Cups hit navel somehow, defies
How
physics.
How dare you?
And
I saw A Cups hit navels. They opened for Muse last night.
And they also opened for Dwan Says Nope.
That's correct.
And then Wilford Brimley, who Kevin can't believe is only 76,
He's been 76 since I was born.
I agree with you on this
Please.
One, dude. And that is a Showbiz Beat.
All right, thank you, Mike. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. The last time you cried for an embarrassing reason tomorrow. Mike was giving a speech at a wedding and broke down. I think he fell on the ground. He was, like, kicking. I don't know. It's a weird story. Also, a brand new internet roundup, and we're going to talk about the situation on Dancing with the Stars all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show.
Don't go away. Kat Corbett's up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music, including the new one from Switchfoot called The Sound. Also, some Incubus on the way, Carolina Ladder, Social D, Metallica, and more straight ahead on K-Rock.